much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
How can you love it? It's crap.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Lube it or lose it.
Yeah! Woohoo! All right! Woo! Yeah! Ha!
F me, F me, F me.
Oh, yes. I can't tell you how much yes.
F me, F me, F me.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
You need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now.
Lisa.
Yum, 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 yum.
Stop it, stop it. This objectification of women has to stop.
You're just a woman with a small brain. With a brain a third the size of us. It's science.
Where do they start with a sponge bath? At your feet or your head?
No, they go with the d***. I don't like that head.
And now,
aloha, and welcome to
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Tuesday morning. I'd like to play one clip that you just heard again because it may be one of my favorites of all time. And that's saying something.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
I love that so
Steven's
much.
Steven's all tan.
Because he's all tan. And that means the baby will be tan.
They're smart.
I love that. All right, let's talk about our Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Okay.
Normally, we just read a funny story, but this woman has to be the Citizen of the Day. No question. Anne Lampy is her name. She's 34 years old. She told police in Springfield that she has smoked meth with her 13-year-old daughter while they were in the car and she was driving.
Oh, my God. You couldn't wait?
Nope. Had to do it in the car. She told police she couldn't remember the details, but she might have smoked meth with her daughter more than just that one time.
She doesn't recall.
Yeah.
13 years old.
She's been charged with 2 counts of endangering the welfare of a child. Each count could get her 7 years in prison. The 13-year-old who was not identified told police that the woman gave her meth more times than she could remember.
Oh, no.
She told police.
That's because she smokes meth. She can't remember.
Right. She told police that she knew it was wrong to provide meth for her daughter. But she did it anyway, according to the documents, because, quote, the youngster would throw a fit if she didn't get what she wanted.
Yeah, well, right.
So what do you do?
I get that.
You give her the meth.
Screaming kid.
Right? You don't want a screaming kid.
No.
So you just give her the meth.
Yeah.
Investigators say that she provided meth to the daughter, but also prescription drugs, including Vicodin and other things.
Did she just want to dope her up?
I guess so.
I don't know. Meth, clean the house, and then Vicodin, shut up.
Right. Maybe. Maybe.
Just...
Look, the house needs to be cleaned. You're tired. Have some meth. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure.
That is just the worst.
Why? But, yeah, gave her 13-year-old meth.
How is that kid going to turn out? Does she have a chance?
No, she's going to turn out in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. When you're 13, and your mom gives you meth?
Just awful.
It must mess with your mind. I mean, you must go, well, if my mom's giving it to
me. Well, and, you know, as a third, your brain isn't even fully formed. What?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, she's going to end up on one of Dr. Drew's shows. I can tell you that.
Sure,
right
for
now.
Sure.
Within a year or two.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? We have a huge show today. Travis Barker's going to be in the studio.
He is awesome.
He's always awesome.
Yep.
He hasn't been in the studio for a while, but he's the best. I wanted to bring up, what was the movie? Drumline.
The movie, yes.
He wanted to take Dave the King of Mexico and I to see Drumline because I was mocking it on the air.
He did that in high school, right?
And he did it in high school, yeah. And I was saying... high school, you know, marching band losers.
Right.
I was just, you know, can sometimes be judgmental. And so he called and said, no, Drumline's a great movie. You need to, you know, come over to my house and then we'll go see Drumline. So Dave and I went over to his house and we hung out for a little while and he's just the coolest guy in the world.
Yeah.
So then we all went to Drumline and I don't know, it started and 5 minutes in, I turned to Travis and I was going to say, hey, I looked around, there's no Travis. He left. It was 5 minutes into the movie. He left.
He left you there.
So I said to Dave, I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And I left Dave.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, look, he does it. I can do it. So Dave was sitting there watching Drumline by himself.
Poor Dave.
I don't know how long.
How'd he get home?
I think he drove too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he drove too. We also have Nat Faxon on the show today from Ben and Kate.
Yes.
I don't know if you watched that
very
show.
Funny
it's very
show.
Funny. More details on Elmo, the voice of Elmo, who's been, well, he's no longer with the company, pending investigation into a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old boy.
Right.
It's all alleged, and they're going to check it out, but the voice of Elmo.
Gone.
We also have, you haven't seen movies everybody else has seen. And this came out of Dave the King of Mexico has not seen a single Bond movie. Now, I can understand if James Bond isn't for you or whatever, but he likes action movies.
He's a guy.
Sort of.
See, that's the problem. Sort of.
He's maybe a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, so maybe that's it.
But
that's shocking, though.
But there have been, I think this is
I've seen.
Yeah, right. I think 10. This is the 23rd Bond movie. You almost have to go out of your mind. I mean, out of your way to not see it if you're, you know, just flipping channels and it's on one of the channels. At least to watch part of one.
Right.
On accident. You fall into watching one of them.
Not even your fault.
It is your fault, actually. So anyway, we got that, and we also have PETA and the story with Honey Boo Boo. I don't know if you've seen
and the
this.
Chicken.
They got a chicken, and PETA wants to make sure that they don't eat the chicken, which is named McNuggets, or actually Nugget. But so anyway, that's coming up today as well, and in the 7 o'clock hour, our breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
Woo!
How about that? We're gonna do that, and at 7 o'clock you can hear it on the radio. At 10 o'clock this morning, you can see it at krock.com. You can watch it.
Oh, very cool.
So that's all coming up today as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 6. This morning, about 7 o'clock, we're going to do our breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
That is the best.
Always fun. Tiny little place. Maybe, I don't know, 100 listeners or something like that. They help us ask the question. The band plays. 7 o'clock on the radio, 10 o'clock online. You can watch it.
Cool.
Or you can do both. You can listen to it at 7 and watch it again at 10. So that's pretty cool. Ralph is here now with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of live events, don't forget we also have the Miss Double December pageant coming up on the 30th of November. We're still looking for our competitors. So if you are a young lady who think you'd like to represent the Kevin and Bean Show as a spokesmodel for the year 2013, we'd love to have you on board. Go to krock.com, kevinandbean.com. Fill out your application. Send us in a couple photos. You have to be 21 years or older. We're taking applications all the way through 10 o'clock this Friday. That's the cutoff. And then on Monday, we'll come back with the top 10 finalists. And we will open up the voting to the K-Rock and Kevin and Bean listeners. And they will decide who Miss Double December for 2013 is.
Thanksgiving is next week.
Next week.
I just realized that yesterday.
That's crazy.
I was stunned. Yeah. I thought there was another week.
Unbelievable.
And after Thanksgiving, it's Double December pageant, and then it is Almost Acoustic Christmas, and then it's New Year's, and then F you people. F you all. All right, let's get to the entertainment news, also known as the Showbiz Beat. Because it is Tuesday, we take a look at the new releases on CD and DVD. Boy, a bunch of new music comes out today. Dose by Green Day, the second of the three albums they've promised us is released today. King Animal by Soundgarden. Koi no Yokan.
Sure, it's my favorite.
By Deftones.
Oh. Hey!
Psycho White EP by Travis Barker and Yellow Wolf. Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2, the soundtrack featuring Green Day, Passion Pit, Ellie Goulding, and others. Grrr! By the Rolling Stones, which is their huge greatest hits compilation along with a few new tracks by the Stones.
That new song you played was impressive.
Yeah, I really like that. Take Me Home by One Direction.
All right.
Paradise by Lana Del Rey. And Lotus by Christina Aguilera. Okay, those last three, maybe you don't have to worry about that so much. Also, there's a little band called Fiction Reform.
Yes.
That features on bass a tiny little bass player.
Tiny little bass player. I've looked for that bass player. I can't usually see her.
Named Chip. She works here on the show with us. She is our assistant producer. And her band, Fiction Reform, is blowing up. They're becoming a real deal.
Who knew?
Take Your Truth is the name of their new CD. It is out today, available on Amazon.com and iTunes. You want to hear a little Fiction Reform?
Sure.
Want to hear a couple tracks?
Sure.
Here's a little taste. This first one is from a song of theirs called 1 Minute More.
Two heartbeats, one set deep, the both is stumbling. 1 minute more.
a real band and everything.
They sound great.
It's why, if I could be so bold, it's why Melfon broke up.
Because she went on to Fiction Reform?
Yeah.
Kind of needed her.
She never sounded that good on our stuff.
No,
when Melfon was playing, she never sounded that good. It was like, just nothing, man. She's playing actual songs with this band. Here's another track from their new album available today, Take Your Truth. Again, available on Amazon.com and iTunes. It's called Music Monster.
Going to be a weenie roaster or something few years.
Oh,
she won't even talk to us. Go,
hey, Chip, remember us?
No, I'm going to say, get me some coffee. So she'll have to put her bass down on stage and go off stage and get me coffee and bring
it. Is that a habit?
Anyway, congratulations to Fiction Reform. It's cool to see someone we know do some good for a change instead of us doing bad things all the time. All right, let's talk about entertainment news. Good news from Microsoft. The new edition of their video game Halo 4.
Yes. Huge.
In the first 24 hours of release,
uh-huh.
What do you think it brought in? What do you think it made, cash-wise? How much did it earn?
$300 million.
No, that's a little...
It's like playing...
Lisa. That's crazy high, right?
It's a little...
A little too high, I would imagine.
Yeah, a little too high.
It's possible, but... These
it's possible, yeah. But $220 million in global sales.
Wow, that's
still nuts.
In the first...
In a day.
24 hours.
I would not have guessed that high.
How long does it take
a
movie?
More than 4 million people log on to play the game in the first 5 days, and 46 million total views.
Wow.
Well, like James Bond has been out less than a week, but I mean, that's such a huge movie, but they've made
it's
almost
a day.
500 million, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is a day.
A day.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. New baby news. Alex O'Loughlin, who is the star of Hawaii Five-0, plays Steve McGarrett on that show. He's got a new baby son. And he is really finally, as a celebrity, keeping up with the fine tradition of celebrities naming their children insane things.
Great, because that is their role.
Little baby boy O'Loughlin, you know what Alex named his son?
What?
Lion.
Really?
Lion O'Loughlin?
Lion O'Loughlin.
Lion O'Loughlin.
Really? Wow.
L-I-O-N, just like the king of the jungle. Wow. Lion O'Loughlin.
Why would he do that to his kid?
Because he wants his kid to grow up tough. Because his kid's going to get his ass kicked every day in school.
You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard!
Still beats Apple.
Yeah, but everything beats Apple.
Yeah, that's true. And Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm sorry, Kevin, maybe you should talk about who Leonardo DiCaprio is. I didn't realize that. I know he's your favorite actor. And
you
like to say
I'll
his name.
I don't want to butt in.
I know you prefer to say his name. So
I don't want to butt in and...
I'll let Kevin talk about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio celebrated his 38th birthday with a few famous friends last week, and the New York Post reports he had a giant party, including, here's the lineup, just some of the people who stopped by to celebrate Leo's birthday with him. Cameron Diaz, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Robert De Niro, Martin Scorsese, Jonah Hill.
Wow.
All stopped by a supper club to celebrate, and because Leonardo
Wait,
DiCaprio...
Wait, this is the Academy Awards?
No, this is his birthday party.
His birthday party.
And because he's better than you... Here's what he did. Yes, there was a party. Yes, there was festivities and cocktailing, and everyone had a good time. But for every bottle of liquor that was purchased for the party, they had table service, right? So you get a table, and you get a bottle of whatever, and they bring it over, and you and your friends drink it at Leo's party.
Right.
There was a fee on top of the usual fee that went straight to the American Red Cross to provide relief for victims of Superstorm Sandy.
It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So he made it a fundraising event for the victims of Sandy, as well as a birthday party for himself. That is a very cool thing to do.
Wow.
I would not do that.
You would not get those people at your party either.
That's true. And we were talking yesterday about Anne Hathaway doing Les Miserables.
Right.
The new film. She plays Fantine, the prostitute with tuberculosis in this movie. And that's a bad choice.
Hard to get business.
I didn't know that's what the character was.
Yeah, she's a prostitute who comes down with tuberculosis.
Oh.
And back in the olden times, TB was a bad thing.
It was a death sentence.
Still a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. It's not a good thing now. But it was widely spread. And if you're going to get a hooker, that's the last thing you want in a hooker, really.
Agreed.
Well, the second to last, maybe.
What's the last?
I don't know.
Dead?
Straight razor or something. Something that could hurt you. So she had to drop a ton of weight because she's supposed to look sick in this. So she dropped 25 pounds.
And
she was not a fat girl to begin with. Her diet consisted of a few nuts and 2 thin squares of dried oatmeal paste per day.
Yeah, dried oatmeal paste.
Couldn't you just eat the oatmeal? Why did she have to dry it and cut it into squares?
That's a really good question.
To make it even less appetizing. Let me dry out the oatmeal paste and pound it into a flat.
That's a terrible
cookie, and then cut it into squares. Yeah. So she looked like a prostitute dying of TB. This is a look all the girls are going for.
Sure.
And while we're talking about sexy, not that prostitutes with TB are sexy, but the...
Depends on the prostitute.
Victoria's Secret Fashion Show, as you know, is a big event every winter now. They do it around Thanksgiving time. The Victoria's Secret Fashion Show was shot last week. You won't see one particular outfit when it airs on CBS next month.
Why?
The sparkly, sparkly bra?
No, that'll be there, Lisa.
What else do they usually
You won't have? See the sexy Native American lingerie outfit worn by Karlie Kloss.
Are you kidding me?
I saw a photo of it.
On the red carpet.
Yeah.
Because it was culturally insensitive. It was a full feathered headdress, a suede bra, fringe and leopard print panties, and turquoise jewelry. Apparently the Native American population thought it was stereotypical and culturally insensitive. And so CBS has pulled it. And you won't see it on the fashion show TV version when they air.
Tell you about CBS. One person complained.
Or nobody
they
complained.
They were afraid one person was going to complain.
Yeah. He said, what if the Indians don't like that? I don't
know. Oh, shit, here we go. It's on.
I don't think it's
race
on.
War.
I don't believe there's a race war.
Race war's on, everybody.
No, I
it's
don't.
It's going down. It's going down.
No, I don't.
Race war. Come on.
No, I don't
race
think,
war.
I don't think there's a race war.
I like how gleefully he is.
Yeah, he wants the race war. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bunch of good people. Good people were born today. Joe Mantegna. Very talented actor. 65 years old today. Actress Frances Conroy. Remember her as the mom on 6 Feet Under?
She was great
on that show. She's 59. Chris Noth. Of course, probably best known as Mr. Big.
My nickname in college.
From Sex and the City, but he's also in The Good Wife. He's great on that show. He's 58. Whoopi Goldberg turns 57. Neil Flynn. Remember he played the janitor on Scrubs? Very funny. Now he's on a show called The Middle.
He's great.
52 years old. Steve Zahn, one of my favorite actors, is 45 years old. Gerard Butler celebrates his 43rd birthday. Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest from the Los Angeles Lakers, is 33. Our own Nicole Alvarez, K-Rock's own Nicole Alvarez, celebrates her birthday today. And comedian Jimmy Kimmel celebrates his 45th birthday today. We love you, James. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't know if you saw this story. Ralph's been doing it in the showbiz, but... PETA, we think on this show, I think most of our opinions are PETA has a great cause.
Mm-hmm.
Treating animals with respect.
Yes.
A lot of times they do themselves harm.
They go way overboard.
With their tactics.
Yeah.
There was a story that Ralph did about hundreds of fish that were in a truck and they were taking them. It doesn't matter where. The truck wrecked. The fish spilled out on the ground. Mm-hmm. And PETA wanted them to put up a sign that said, "In memory of hundreds of fish who suffered and died at this spot." Fish are intelligent animals, PETA says, who have impressive long-term memories and develop social structures. They use tools, tell time, count, and enjoy singing.
Fish?
Yes.
How do they...
So they want to put up a sign in memoriam of these fish. To which I say, come on, that's ridiculous. Now Honey Boo Boo has a chicken. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes.
And the name is Nugget. So.
Which is funny.
Sure. Although you know they're going to eat it, let's be honest.
Look, I don't think that chicken's going to survive long enough for them to eat it, to be honest.
PETA wrote to Honey Boo Boo asking her to change Nugget's name to Not a Nugget. That's the name they were just suggesting.
Nugget.
Hey, you should go with Not a Nugget.
It flows right off the tongue.
As I'm sure you're learning from your chicken, chickens are smart, interesting animals with personalities all their own, the letter reads. Changing Nugget's name to Not a Nugget will let your fans know that they should be nice to chickens by not eating them. They also say chickens can do math. So I don't know exactly PETA's getting their information, but we figured we would check in with them and just find out. We have a PETA spokesperson, Michael Wenderer. Good morning, or Wendler. I apologize.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. You're just a person. I understand why you could make a mistake.
But what does that mean, I'm just a person?
If you were an animal, you would have gotten my name right.
Did you hear the way I described both stories? Was it relatively accurate?
It's absolutely accurate, and you're absolutely right.
Okay,
Okay. That all these animals have amazing qualities that we don't even talk about.
How do you know that fish have impressive long-term memories? They have social structure. They use tools. What does that mean?
Have you ever seen a fish again after a long time when you've been apart? The fish recognizes you and says, hi. It waves its little flipper. Hi.
Isn't it just swimming around? I see no evidence that it recognizes me.
Well, maybe you don't have a lot of fish friends, but I do.
I don't.
And they always recognize me after we don't see each other for a long time.
How do you know
and
they
I
can
say, do you have the time, by the way? And they go, yes, it's 4:13.
How do you know they can tell the time?
They don't do that.
They do it yet.
Fish don't tell time.
They do. They do. You just have to know how to read what they're telling you.
Is it the bubbles?
Yes, exactly right. Thank nice. God there's a woman who's got some sense on this program.
Wow.
Just read how many bubbles they have come out of their mouths. A big bubbles for the big hand and a little bubbles for the little hand.
I didn't know
they
that.
They count, they enjoy singing. Wait, what's that?
Oh, that's my pet pig, Bean.
Oh, you have a pet Bean pig?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a good friend, and he's very talented, too. He does needlepoint.
Pigs don't do needlepoint.
He just made me a pillow.
There's no way with hooves that he does needlepoint.
He does needlepoint. He made me a pillow that said F bacon. All of our animal friends have lots of talents that you don't even know about. That's why we had to take care of them.
All right, so chickens can do math?
Chickens
That's what you
can
told...
do basic math. I mean, don't get crazy. They can't do algebra or something.
Well, they can't do 2
so
plus
they can
2.
Do addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division.
How do you know that? How do you know a chicken can do that?
Because I put a chicken in a room once with a calculator, and when I went back, there was things on it. Letters.
Things.
Numbers.
Right.
They had obviously been calculating something.
Okay.
And so they know math.
Did it make sense to you what was on the calculator?
No, I don't speak chicken, for God's sake. I'm not crazy.
Well, then, stupid, Kevin.
How do you make the leap to the fact that they're doing math then?
Because they do.
Wow.
And you may be interested to know that a wombat can play Yahtzee.
That's just ridiculous.
No
Have you
way.
Ever played Yahtzee with a wombat?
No.
Well, then don't. Wait until you try it before you say anything
about
it.
Have you ever played it?
Of course I have.
With a wombat.
Many hours I've whiled away playing Yahtzee with a wombat.
Has it ever beaten you?
Yes, all the time.
I'm
very lucky when they turn that cup over, I'll tell you. Did you know that a marmoset can play the theremin?
No.
Come on.
Did you know that a manatee can calculate rudimentary carpentry?
Well, no, that's just stupid.
They can't hold tools.
Of course they can. They're manatees, for God's sake.
That's my point.
Yes, exactly.
No, but...
Well, look, they can't make a cabinet or something, but they could put together a workbench of some kind.
Is that right?
Perhaps something to hold your keys that you mount on the wall. I mean, let's not get ridiculous, but it's still impressive.
I'd like to suggest you're being ridiculous,
but... A chinchilla can ride a unicycle.
That's... No!
Many lemurs work in compounding pharmacies.
That's just
what
not
true.
Making drugs for people.
That's just not true.
It is true. That's why it's important to protect our animal friends and never ever eat an animal because you're taking something important out of the world. So you don't eat animals, do you?
A lot. Yeah, actually I eat hamburgers a lot.
Oh no.
I do, yeah.
No.
I'm sorry. Come on.
This is not happening.
Come on, Michael.
Jeez. What have you been eating?
Come on.
Disgusting. God.
That's a lot of beans.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 6 o'clock. What's wrong, Ralph? What are you angry about? What's happening?
I'm just taking everything in me not to punch Dave in the face right now. That's all.
By the way, 7 o'clock this morning, breakfast with Mumford & Sons. Punch Dave in the face because...
Well, there's a lot of reasons. But there are a lot this of morning's reason is that he seems almost proud of the fact that he's never seen a James Bond movie in his life. 23 James Bond movies exist. He's never seen one. And it's like he's willfully avoiding them, like he's refusing to see them.
Well, you'd almost have to at this point.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're on television constantly. They've been around for 50 years. How do you not even accidentally see a James Bond movie?
Dave?
I just haven't. I mean, I've...
You're an ass.
Why? Why?
Because
why
you've
ass?
Seen all the Step Up movies.
Yes, that's
you've
true.
Seen that entire franchise.
Yes, but those are good.
What other entire franchises
wait,
have
wait,
you
wait,
seen,
wait,
Dave?
Wait. Those are good. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yeah. Because there's been 23 Bond movies. Some great, some not so great. But a great movie, a great Bond movie,
that's a
you
lot of
still
time
don't
to
see
invest.
It.
That's a lot of time to invest.
How do you
in
know how long it is?
Well, see, one of them. Start with one instead of the entire Step Up series. What other franchises have you seen in their entirety, Dave?
Twilight.
All the Twilight films.
Yeah, Good Friday.
That's the problem. Maybe the James Bond film does not, interest a 12-year-old girl
maybe.
Like Dave.
Maybe there aren't enough sparkly vampires in it for you, Dave.
Well, I've seen the Bourne Identity series.
Well, then why wouldn't you see Bond?
USA. No.
Bond is the father of Bourne. It all starts with Bond.
Listen, I just literally, it's not like I was trying.
It's almost
you must have tried
no,
to avoid
I
them.
I just have not seen any of the movies.
Have you seen the trailers for the movies?
Yes.
Especially the last two or three that are kind of really updated.
Yeah, Skyfall, the one that's coming out.
Doesn't it look?
Yeah, it looks okay. It looks good.
It looks okay. You hear what people say about it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Ralph's been raving about it, but.
But
you
don't
know.
Give a rat's ass what
even
Ralph
the Pierce Brosnan movies, GoldenEye. I mean, there's a bunch of good ones.
Oh, I played
ones.
The video game for GoldenEye. There was a cool scene where I had to shoot people down a big satellite dish.
That's not the same as watching the movie.
It happens in the movie, by the way. That's a scene from the movie, shooting people down when you're sliding out a satellite dish.
Well, the video game was good, at least. So, does that count?
No.
No.
No. You're bizarre.
Have you seen all the Madagascar films?
I like to move it, move it.
He's seen all the Madagascar films. All three of those. Absolutely wouldn't miss one of those opening weekend.
And the series.
He's bad on so many levels.
But
God
come on.
God damn him.
Listen, it's not a bad thing that I haven't seen any of the Bonds.
It is.
Yeah, that's what we're telling you. It is a bad
Why?
Thing.
Why?
Wait, did you enjoy the Bourne movies?
Yeah, I'd love them.
Okay, let me tell you something. You would love Skyfall then. Love it.
Are they as good as Matt Damon?
Yes. Come on. Listen, I love the Bourne movies too. There's one of my; it's one of my favorite. But this Bond movie is as good or better than any of them. Any of them.
I listen. It's
the
not-
only plan you have for this weekend is Twilight. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm going Friday,
and probably Saturday too. Right?
No, just Friday. Just Friday. I'll see it once, and then we'll be done with it.
You're a little girl.
I've seen all the Harry Potters too.
Yeah, but
that's a good series. But that was about what, five movies?
Are you taking for granted that the Bond series is not a good series?
No, not
because
at all.
You willfully avoided Bond movies. You have made a decision not to see any Bond movies.
It's like I go to the movie theater and
are you afraid
I
because they're British that they might be too smart for you and you wouldn't
no,
be able to handle it?
But I see like Skyfall or whatever. I just won't go to it. I don't know why.
It's not like you have to have seen the last one.
Right.
You know.
You don't have to follow
no,
along with
that. No, I know. Anymore. And that I know. I just have not seen any of them.
Right. That's what we're saying.
And I don't think
that's
I'm going to.
That's our point.
And I don't think I'm going to start now. So.
Why?
Why would you stop?
It doesn't make any sense. We all know
you. We're not saying you have to sit down and watch them all at once.
Go to the effing movie. That's
Dave,
what we're
Dave,
saying.
We all three of us know
Jeez.
You.
Yes.
Now, a lot of times, one of us will send you down the wrong path, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin. But all three of us have Ralph and I have
seen that, but I've seen all
seen
the other
movies.
Ones.
Lisa's seen all the other ones.
Yeah.
All three of us think you would love it. Doesn't that mean anything to you, you a-hole?
Yeah. Yeah, but
no,
I just don't
doesn't.
Know when I have... time for it.
Shut up.
I'm just dumbfounded. It's one of the biggest movie franchises in the history. And Dave's a guy who likes movies. How do you not
I do.
Run across a Bond movie? And even if you're laying at home hungover on a Sunday morning and TBS has the marathon going on, how do you not watch Live and Let Die or something?
Speaking of which, you watch a lot of TV.
I do.
You've had to come across those movies. You just think, no, it's Bond. Forget it?
No, you know what it is? I'm pretty picky about TV movies because I really hate commercials.
Right.
So I don't really watch them on TBS or TNT or not.
You have cable? You have HBO? You have Showtime? Yeah,
yeah
you know, they air those.
All the time. All the time.
Wow.
Well,
what do you mean, they don't?
I was like, I don't know.
They show movies!
They the past 10 Bond films have all been featured
on
HBO.
I just have not
Showtime.
Seen them, and I don't think I will.
I can't imagine why you would make that choice.
Why would you
choice.
Say that? That doesn't make
You're like a child saying, I hate sandwiches. You say, have you ever eaten a sandwich? No. Try it. You'll like it, in the words of Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, now you're relating to Dave.
Yeah, yeah right. Now I'm speaking to him on his level.
That's right. If you could use Yo Gabba Gabba to get him to go see the Bond movie, maybe that's your in.
If Muno was starring in Skyfall, he'd go.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
All right, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. You haven't seen something that... everyone else seems to have either seen and mostly loved.
What movie or franchise have you never seen?
You missed out on the whole experience, and for some reason, and maybe you can't even explain it. Like, I don't even buy Dave. I don't think Dave has a reason. You know what I mean?
I think he was touched in a James Bond movie or something.
Because they're all different. It's not like you can go, the whole series sucks, because it doesn't at all.
I don't think it. They suck.
Some are good, some are great.
I don't think they suck at all.
Six different Bonds. I mean, there's something for everybody in this franchise. You can find whatever you want.
But you can't put it.
Huh? Seen all the Ice Ages.
Seen all the Ice Ages.
What's wrong with you? Why are you a little girl?
There's nothing wrong with seeing the Ice Ages, but how do you see that and then say no to Bond?
Got that checked off my list. Ice Age movies all covered. Oh, Bond, no, I'll just skip over that.
He doesn't have time this weekend.
Get to the next.
What are you doing this weekend? Besides Twilight.
Going to see Twilight.
Uh-huh.
And then there's football games.
Right.
And then there's more football games.
Is there football games on Saturday?
Yeah, UCLA, USC.
Okay, what time is that game?
That I think it's in the afternoon.
Afternoon. Huh. Yeah. You know when they could show these movies?
Noon. Yeah.
One.
Mornings, evenings.
In the afternoon.
Evening, night. 8 p.m., 9 p.m.
All times.
Mm-hmm. Any time of the day.
It's a long day.
Any time of the day you have available.
Wow. It's sitting in a movie theater.
It's sitting watching a football game.
You think I'm going to go to a football game and then go to a movie theater?
You're the guy who drives to Vegas and then goes to work and then goes snow skiing and then goes surfing in the same day.
And all we're asking you to do is sit in a different location. You're sitting at home watching football, and then we want you to sit in a theater and watch a movie.
I'll give you some five-hour energy.
You're sitting. That's all you're doing.
You need too much punch. Work. Now, you know why I want to punch him.
Yeah, I agree with you, too.
It's an endless cycle.
All right, let's take one call, and then we'll take some more. 1-800-520-1067. Cash is on the line. Hi, Cash.
Hello.
Cash, what have you not seen?
This is Spinal Tap.
What?
That's,
that's one of those classics that even if you're too young for it, it's one of those classics.
Yeah, you can see it
anytime. It's on all the time, and you kind of, you hear word of mouth, that's one of those you have to go back.
If you like A, comedy, or B, music, it's a must-see. You have to
have
seen it.
Cash, what's wrong with you? Even I see
Shut up, Dave.
I've seen all the other Christopher Guest movies, too.
Oh, okay, now this is perfect, then.
Yes.
Then how have you avoided the one that started it all?
At least once a month, somebody, like, ribs me for it, too.
Have you ever thought, hey, you know what I should do? Watch Spinal Tap.
Maybe I'll sit down and watch that.
I have. I just never complete. I get that step A, and then step B and C just don't follow through.
I see.
It's on Netflix, too.
Of course. It's everywhere.
Stop talking. This
Jeez,
is all your
Cash.
Fault.
As are the Bond movies. All right, Cash.
See, that's just willful disobedience.
I have seen every single Bond movie, though.
Okay, good.
But you haven't seen Spinal Tap.
All right, Cash, listen. This weekend, we want you, between now and Monday, we want you to watch Spinal Tap.
I know that's part A, but I just can't lock in part B. I can turn on the DVD player. I just can't open my eyelids. That's where I fall short. Go kill yourself.
By this weekend.
All right, Cash. And then call us back with a review for that very timely film. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. 1-800-520-1067. What have you not seen that everybody else in the world seems to have seen? Talking about you haven't seen movies that everybody else seems to have seen. We started with Dave, the King of Mexico, has seen not one single James Bond movie, but he's seen all the Twilights.
Crazy.
Tells you all you need to know about Dave. And here's the thing. He likes action movies.
Yeah.
And we all kind of know his taste. And we all know he would love this movie, so we're baffled that he won't.
Doesn't love as much as animated zebras, apparently, because he's seen all the Madagascar films.
That's true. Probably multiple times. Let's start with Anthony. Hey, Anthony.
Hey.
This is another one of these that I can't imagine how difficult it would be to avoid seeing one of these movies. Which one have you not seen?
Of the Star Wars franchise?
Any of them.
Oh, I haven't seen any of them.
Never seen one Star Wars movie?
No.
You ever just flip it around, you come across it and go...
No, I do, like, whenever it's on TV or whatnot, but it's not from the beginning, and I like watching movies from the beginning to end.
Well, there's no way to do that.
No, unfortunately,
obviously.
There's no technology that exists to allow you to watch a movie from the beginning.
Anthony, wouldn't you just be curious about what everyone is talking about? Just curious enough to see one?
Yeah, but I haven't gotten around to it. Like, I know this whole Disney thing had happened, and... and it's like a billion-dollar thing in George Lucas films. And I'm like, I haven't seen one of them. Yeah. Like,
Anthony, let me ask you a qualifying question, because some people are like this. They don't want to come in the middle at all. They want to go back to the beginning, start with the first Star Wars that came out in, what, 77?
Yeah.
And then catch up in order all the way through. Is that too big of a task? I mean, does that sound like too much time and effort to put into it?
No, but...
Okay, all right, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied.
Yeah. We were trying to give you an out.
I was trying to give
him
every benefit of the doubt.
Now you're just trying to be arbitrary. Now you're just going to be the guy who's never seen Star Wars. That's the medal that you're going to wear to parties. That's like your line with chicks. You know, I've never seen a Star Wars movie. That's your personality
it's
now.
It's like the guys who say, I don't watch TV.
Yeah, screw
it drives
those
me
people.
Nuts.
Screw Thank Anthony. You, Anthony. Screw you, Ralph says. Let's go to Jen. Hello, Jen.
Hi, I haven't seen Indiana Jones, any of them.
None of the Indiana Jones films.
None of the Indiana Jones films.
Again, what's the mindset there?
Well, I mean, I even grew up in Southern California, and the ride was usually just enough for me. I didn't really
The ride was awesome. Enough.
The ride was enough.
But,
you know, there's more to the movies than just a rolling boulder and a Jeep.
I usually could find something better to watch on TV.
Okay, but
you don't know because you haven't seen them.
If you haven't seen, at least the original is a classic. That's a classic. It doesn't matter.
You can see Harrison Ford when he was younger and could talk. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
We think you'd like it, Jen. All right.
None of these people are going to be swayed to actually do this.
That's the odd thing.
That's the feeling I'm
like
getting.
Star Wars or Indiana Jones, something that's so pervasive
like,
in
you
pop
just
culture.
Know?
It's just everywhere. You know, it's like.
Let's talk to Casey. We're speechless. Casey?
Yes.
What have you not seen?
I have not seen The Godfather or I don't even know how many are out. I haven't seen any of them.
There's four Godfather movies.
I haven't seen one of them.
Die.
Well, three, actually. Three
how
Godfather
old are you,
three,
Casey? Yeah. Casey, how old are you?
I'm 23.
23. I mean, there is this thing of they have to seek them out. They didn't come out when they were going
right.
to movies.
Again, not hard, though. Not hard
like
to
Kevin
find the Godfather
movie.
Kevin
doesn't seek out anything.
I don't seek out older movies, but movies
You would
like,
not see The Godfather today if you were his age. You would not.
Probably.
You didn't see The Godfather in the theater when it came out?
No.
But you've seen it?
Yeah, because it's on all the... I have the DVD, the Blu-ray. It's
right.
fantastic.
Yes.
It's one of the best movies of all time.
Casey, do you not like movies?
I love movies. I love older movies. I've just never even given it the effort to go out and watch it.
Wow.
You don't really even have to go out.
But you heard, did you hear that it was great and all that, The Godfather?
Yeah.
Godfather 2 maybe better than 1?
I heard it was great. I just didn't even, I've never seen it on DirecTV, nothing like that.
Odd.
Wow.
All right, you're
and
crazy.
And you're not going to, are you?
And probably not.
Probably not.
See, that's
this
what
is the
blows my
weirdest
mind.
Thing.
I said these people can know it's out there, know everyone says it's great, and they say they like movies, and yet they still won't make the effort just to check it out. It's 2 hours out of your life, and you'll be better for.
There's something wrong with me.
Yes,
thank
correct.
You. At least you admit it, Casey.
Thank you, Casey.
That's the first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem.
Dave wouldn't admit that, not for 1 second. Let's go to David, a different David. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
What have you not seen?
Okay, well, there's two. Main ones that I can think of is Scarface.
Yep, classic.
Never seen Scarface.
Classic.
And everyone's always brought that up, and how come you've never seen it?
Well, everybody quotes from it, too, you know, say hello to my little friend and all that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I've heard all the quotes from, you know, they portrayed in other movies, but I've just never gone out of my way to see it. And
okay.
The second movie would be Pulp Fiction.
Wow, you're missing out, man.
Pulp Fiction.
I know, yeah, and I heard that one's great, too.
It is.
You know, good cast and everything.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And he won't.
And you know
I'm
you're missing
you
out, and then you won't take
you
a step to
it.
Make...
Well, yeah, I'm trying to, because the thing is, I don't have cable, so I just watch DVDs.
Oh, yeah, you can't get those on DVD. Those Scarface and Pulp Fiction DVDs are out of print.
No. So, like, I try to make my, you know, I try to think of what movies, when I rent movies, I think of what I'm going to rent and what I haven't seen.
Right.
Sometimes I forget to rent, you know, like, I'll forget to rent Pulp Fiction. I'll be like,
not sometimes, all the time.
That's right.
You haven't remembered it once.
There's always some sort of implement that you could write down the name of something that you missed
pretty
and put
much,
it on a piece of paper and then just have it in front of you.
No, I need to, because there's a lot of movies out there I want to watch, but, you know, you don't think about it when you're looking. You're like, wait.
What? Right.
Yeah.
You fail. Write it down. Thank you, David.
Will.
All right, let's go to
so
Jesse.
He could think of what he hadn't seen when he called us, but he couldn't think of what he hadn't seen when he went to rent a video.
No. Jesse, hi.
Hey, what's up? Kevin Bean, Lisa
hey.
May.
Hi, Jesse.
What have you missed?
Hey, I have not seen any of the Harry Potter movies.
Wow.
I'm proud of it.
Right now, you're proud of it. I was going to say, on purpose, it just looked bad to you?
No, I mean, I just, you know, somebody gave me the book when I was in high school. I started reading through the first chapter and then fell asleep, and it just
I can, you know, and I too, I get this. It's not for everybody. They're looking at it like kind of like a kid's movie. It's magic. So there's people, there are definitely people that's just not up their alley, and they're not going to enjoy it.
That's a misread of that movie, though.
Not necessarily. I truly believe there are people who would not enjoy those movies.
But at least you read the first chapter of the book.
Yeah, but he fell asleep, Ralph.
He won't watch the first hour of the movie to see if he likes
it
or not.
Like, there was a scene that, you know, people would just watch movies in college in the dorms rooms, and it was on. And I saw the scene where they're flying around on the broom.
Right.
And then, I don't know, I just probably fell asleep again or something.
Right. Well, that's not the best scene to get you to watch it, but...
There's a lot of pot. Is that why you keep falling asleep?
Are you narcoleptic?
No. But I've seen all the 007 movies. I've seen all the, you know, Bourne Identities. I've seen all the Mission Impossible. Like, I just don't understand how Dave can't see all the 007 movies.
We don't understand that either.
And we don't know how you haven't seen a Harry Potter movie.
We don't want him to see all of them. We're just asking him to see one of the 23. That
all
may
right.
be...
I'll watch a Harry Potter if he goes and watches the 007 movie.
All right, well, we'll have to ask him about that. We'll have to ask him about that. All right, Jesse, thank you for the call.
No problem.
All right, bye now. Boy, we have too many calls. Wizard of Oz, Avatar, any Terminators, any Rambo.
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
A girl who hasn't seen Princess Bride.
Come on.
Mean Girls.
They should take your vagina away.
Animal House.
Unbelievable. People, watch some of these. And I'm the guy who doesn't watch old movies, for
God's
sake.
And there's so much crap in theaters. So instead of seeing a crappy movie, rent a DVD and see a good movie.
Stick around for that. Now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
My birthday is this Saturday.
Yes.
If you'd like to celebrate with me, come out to the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater up at Universal City Walk. Kevin Smith and my friends there at the Lovitz are throwing me a birthday Babylon. We're doing our Hollywood Babylon show on Saturday night. And to celebrate my birthday, there's going to be various hijinks and cake and booze. And
buy Ralph a shot. He doesn't get to drink enough.
There will be vomit.
That's
all
a promise?
I'm telling you. I don't think there's any way to avoid it, quite frankly. The more I think about the amount of alcohol I'll be drinking and birthday cake, if you add the whole mix together, there just seems to be a guarantee.
Some people get angrier. Some people get melancholy when they get drunk. Mm-hmm. Ralph literally gets way funnier. If that's possible. So you're going to love it.
Come on out. It is 8 p.m. this Saturday night at the John Lovitz. Once again, you can go to thelovitz.com or BabylonRalph or BabylonKev.com to get your tickets. But it's me and Smith doing basically what I do here with the Showbiz Beat, which is make fun of people who are better looking, richer, and have better careers than I do. So I get nice and cranky. We'll be talking about all the important stories of the week, like Elmo. Like Kevin Clash, the Muppeteer who does Elmo in the Sesame Street, taking a leave of absence from the show after having been accused of having an inappropriate relationship with an underage male. Now, Kevin Clash is claiming, by the way, that the relationship started when they were adults. So Kevin Clash met this young man at 16, but kept his hands off him until he turns 18, is what he's saying.
Well, that was nice of him.
I think is nice. I knew all that tickling was going to get out of hand with Elmo at some point, and now it's just a matter of time before some kid took it too far. Kenneth Branagh, congratulations. He is now Sir Kenneth Branagh. He's been knighted by the Queen over there in the UK.
Does that mean anything for reals?
It is. It's really just an honor. It's just you get to be called Sir now for the rest of your life, which is kind of cool. He is currently directing the new Jack Ryan reboot from all those Jack Ryan films.
No kidding.
Chris Pine is being cast as the new Jack Ryan, and Branagh is directing it. He's like the hottest action director in the world now because he did Thor, and it was met with such critical and financial acclaim that he is now being requested to direct all kinds of action films. So he's doing that, but he got knighted this week.
This is what the Queen had to say at his knighting.
Oh, good.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Well, she's got a point. Another knight of the realm, Sir Paul McCartney, nearly died.
Oh, nearly?
Stop it, Kevin. He's a national treasure, even though it's not our nation.
That's what I meant.
He apparently was flying to his farm on his private helicopter, he and his wife, in Sussex, when the pilot of the helicopter became disoriented during a rainstorm.
Oh, no.
And missed hitting the top of a tree by less than 2 feet.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine?
Apparently, he came around in the rainstorm, and they saw this tree in front of him, and he had to pull the helicopter up, and they said it brushed the leaves of the tree with the helicopter.
I am firing that pilot.
Yeah. With the people who, with the reverence with which they're held, can you imagine killing Paul McCartney?
You better hope you go, too, in that crash.
No
if
kidding.
That's the case.
Wow.
He was able to pull the chopper up and eventually landed at a nearby airport in Kent. No one was hurt, but I'll tell you,
It's kind of cursed to be a Beatle. None of them have gone well. Between John Lennon and George Harrison with his brain cancer and then a helicopter accident, I think Ringo would start sweating pretty profusely if that actually happened. Oh, sad news. INXS has broken up.
Oh, say that's not so.
Yeah. After 35 years together, they made the announcement on stage Sunday night in Perth, Australia, where they were opening for Matchbox 20. Yeah,
maybe
when you're opening for Matchbox
20. Did they look around and go, no.
We're opening for Matchbox 20.
We're INXS. We used to be one of the hottest bands in the world, and now we're opening for Matchbox 20. Maybe we should just call it a day.
Weren't they one of those that did one of those reality shows to find a replacement
singer? They've done everything. Ever since Michael Hutchence, their lead singer, died from autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
They've been desperately trying to reinvent themselves and get relevant again, and it just never happened. Mm. And they did a reality show where they cast for a new lead singer,
right,
basically, and did not go well. So the president of the INXS fan club said, those guys are still together? So even they.
Turns out, no, they're not.
And more music news. Funny story regarding Florence and the Machine. They were playing last Thursday night in London. The intro music starts up. They're supposed to be on the stage. And their drummer, Chris Hayden, decides he has to go to the bathroom real quick.
Oh, no.
Runs into the bathroom. Locks the door. Does his business, can't get the door unlocked.
Love it.
Locks himself in the bathroom.
Wow.
Starts pounding on the door.
Help!
Help me! We've got a show to do. I gotta get out. They can't get the door open. Apparently, Florence says her father was all set to fill in on the drums.
What?
Apparently, her dad is a drummer. Wouldn't that be the greatest Florence and the Machine show ever to
no
be
kidding.
At?
No kidding.
The one where her dad was the drummer. Stagehands were able to take the bathroom door off its hinges.
Wow.
Pull the door off its frame and then get him out on stage just in time. So it wasn't necessarily for Florence's dad to pick up the sticks, but
maybe her dad locked him in.
That's funny.
He wanted his turn.
He wanted his big break.
He likes to drum. He likes beats.
I like beats. Hey, Florence. I know I'm your dad, but I'm also a drummer.
Yes. Hey. Do we have time for the most recent Kevin with...
Hell yes!
Because we were just doing the show
forgot
just moments
the breakfast
ago.
With Mumford and Sons.
I know. That's why the guys are getting ready. We still have a little bit of time.
All right.
This was Kevin, who, by the way, controls all of the board. He decides when his microphone is turned off, when the next element is potted up, as they say in the business. He could have finished this sentence, but chose not to.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. 1-800-520-1067. What have you not seen that everybody else in the world seems to have seen? The
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What was that?
If I could answer that.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Do I hear the one from yesterday?
No.
Sure, why not?
No, we have to do breakfast. We got to get to the breakfast.
We got to get to the breakfast. Let's do it one more time.
Do it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. One more time, just in case you missed a few.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So I'm the one starting the element that interrupts me.
Yes.
Odd.
You're okay at starting sentences. It seems to be ending them lately you're having a problem with.
Can't explain
just
that.
Just wrapping it all up. Just putting a bow around it.
I will make no mistakes at the breakfast with Mumford and Sons. Yeah. I'll tell you that
all
right
righty.
Now.
Today's celebrity birthdays real quick. Joe Mantegna, Francis Conroy, Chris Noth, Whoopi Goldberg, Neil Flynn, Steve Zahn, Gerard Butler, Meta World Peace, our own Nicole Alvarez from here on K-Rock, and our buddy Jimmy Kimmel also celebrates his birthday today. Happy birthday, Jims. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoy
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
You people never cease to amaze me.
K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mumford and Sons.
Cause I know that time is numbered my days, and I'll go along with everything you say. See the call of my unborn sons, and I know that choices color all I've done. And I'll explain it all to the watchman's son. I ain't ever lived a year better spent in love. know my voice, and I'll believe in grace and choice. And I know perhaps my heart is fast, but I'll be born without a mask. Woo! Like the city that nurtured my greed and my pride, I stretch my arms into the sky. Babel, Babel, look at me now. The walls of my town, they come crumbling down. You ask, where will we stand in the winds that will howl? As all we see, we'll slip into the cloud. Come down from your mountain and stand where we've been. You know our breath is weak and our body. Press my nose up to the glass around your heart. I should have known I was weaker from the start. You'll build your walls, I will play my bloody part. To tear them down. Well, I'm gonna tear them. I know my weakness, know my voice, and I'll believe in grace and choice. And I know perhaps my heart is fast, but I'll be born without a
Thank you very much.
How about that? How about that? How are you guys? Welcome, welcome. Thanks for coming. Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. Tell us about playing the Hollywood Bowl. What's that like? Is this the first time you guys have ever played it?
It's the first time we've ever been there, actually.
What are your thoughts about it?
It's been amazing. It's massive. It's absolutely massive. It's bleeping massive.
Were you surprised at the size of the audience, the size of the grounds?
Yeah, and we've seen lots of photos of all the bands that have played there before, and it always looks really epic. And then we walked out on stage, and we were like, yep, that really is a lot of people.
Do you guys still have those moments? Because, I mean, really, you started in, what, 2007, 2008. You still have those moments where you go, I can't believe I'm here doing this?
Yeah, I think the fact that we're still quite a young band, I think we have those moments all the time. I think, yeah, the bowl's a good example. They're, pretty much every gig we do is a good example of one of those moments.
Let's talk about the early days for a minute. I forget which one of you was being interviewed, but I heard you talking about a place. I think it was Edinburgh or someplace. You were talking about the fact that it was raining sweat from the roof.
Yeah, it actually destroyed one of these keyboards, and it was a really hot, like, tunnel underneath a pub, and everyone piled in. It was freezing outside, so everyone was wearing lots of jackets and jumpers and stuff, but we basically started playing, and the whole room just got full of everyone's I don't know, it was a nice way to...
It was gross.
Yeah, it was just disgusting.
It was gross.
It was totally sweat. And then it started dripping off the ceiling, and then we all walked out afterwards having shared something pretty intimate.
That sounds bad. Not fun, right?
I kind of enjoyed it, actually.
Nothing antibiotics wouldn't cure after the show, I'm sure. And here's another song. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mumford & Sons.
Well, I keep cold like a storm, and I fell heavy into your arms. These days of dust, which we've known, will blow away with this new sun. And I'm kneel down, wait for now. And I'm kneel down, know my ground. And I will wait for you. And I will. I will wait for you. So break my step and relent, or you forgive and I won't forget. No one will see. Him with less. Now in some way shape the excess. And I will wait for you. And I will wait for you. And as well as strong, and use my head alongside my heart. So tame my flesh and fix my eyes, tethered mind freed from the lies. But I for now, kneel down, know my ground. Yep.
Kevin, we got to take a break real quick. It's our breakfast with Mumford & Sons from the Cat and Fiddle.
K-Rock.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
It's Kevin and Bean's breakfast with Mumford & Sons. K-K-Rock.
We are back. It's our breakfast with Mumford & Sons. Just talking with the guys about playing the Hollywood Bowl, about playing some of their early gigs. Let's talk about recording albums. You've done two whole albums now.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about the 10-song game.
Oh, it's a quite healthy thing. It's we actually learned it from some friends of ours who played a 20-song game.
Whew.
Yeah, and we weren't really quite ready for that. So we played the 10-song game, and in 6 hours we all go to different places with whatever instruments you want. And you got to write 10 songs, and it focuses your mind on quantity and not quality. So you don't overthink everything.
It's 6 hours.
6 hours.
Write ten songs.
It's a pretty impossible task. And a 20-song game is 12 hours, just to clarify.
Okay, all right.
But it's quite good because it allows you just to sort of let it all out. So you get all the stuff that you've been sort of messing around with for too long and it's been overthought. You get all that out of the way and then the fresh stuff starts coming through. So it's quite a fun game.
Who's the worst at it? Which one of you is the worst at the tens? Really?
Marcus?
You're willing to take that one?
I didn't even have the wherewithal to write a song, which Winston did, called I Hate the Ten Song Game.
Oh, good.
I just sat there and picked my nose. And...
Did all of you come up with ten or no?
No.
None of us came up with
none of you did. Oh, so a giant failure. Did you use any of the songs from the game on the album? Did any of them make it?
Possibly.
Did actually. Where Are You Now came from that.
Where Are You Now?
Speaking of great songs, Lover of the Light, one of my favorites, also features an amazing video starring Idris Elba, and I think he co-directed it as well, if I'm not mistaken. How did that partnership come together? How did you guys, and you may know Idris Elba from Luther or from The Wire, he's done a bunch of movies, great actor and obviously a great director. How did that project come together?
Yeah, he's a great British actor. I was definitely shocked. I think quite a lot of people were shocked that he was British, having discovered him on The Wire and being so convincing.
We've learned that all good actors are British. Yeah. It's a little annoying, I gotta be honest.
And they keep taking our goddamn American jobs. There's not enough unemployed actors in this country as there is.
All right, so he's British. All right.
Yeah, he's British. And
how did the partnership come together?
Well, we're pretty proud of our British roots, so we like to keep things as much that way as possible. And he was like a friend, and we basically got introduced to him, and he was a fan of what we were doing, and obviously we were of his. So we just met up in a pub in London and talked about the idea of doing a video together, because we hate being in music videos ourselves. we did too many videos where we're just basically on screen, and we didn't get into this to do that. So he kind of helped us out to get out of that loophole, basically.
It's a beautiful video. It really is kind of touching.
No,
although I don't understand it at all.
No.
Is that all right? Yeah. I have no idea.
The reason you don't understand it is because you're American.
Oh, come on.
Americans nicely have a good done. Sense of humor, right?
Nicely done.
Oh,
well played, sir. How about some more music from Mumford & Sons? How about that? That sounds good.
This is a quiet one. You saw my pain washed out in the rain and broken glass. You saw the blood run from my veins, but you saw no fall, no cracks in my heart, and you knelt beside my hope torn apart. But the ghosts that we knew will flicker from you and will live a long life. So give me hope in the darkness that I will see the light, 'cause oh, they gave me such a fright. But I will hold as long as you like, just promise me we'll be alright. Turn south from that place
and close my eyes to my recent disgrace. 'Cause you know my core, and we'll share my all, and our children come. They will hear me roar. So give me hope in the darkness that I will see the light. 'Cause oh, they gave me such a fright. But I will hold as long as you like. Just promise me we'll be all right.
Let's take another quick break. We'll hear some more music from the band, and then we'll come back with some questions from the audience. How about that? Here in the world-famous K-Rock, Breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
Rock and roll, baby.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
We are back. It is Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. Welcome. Thank you to the guys for coming out so early. Let's find King of Mexico out there with some questions from the audience.
Hi, guys. Here I am. I got Taryn.
Hey, guys. How you doing? So my question is, what's the first thing you do when you're done with the tour and you get home?
Laundry.
Laundry, yeah.
Especially when it's been raining sweat, I guess you would want to clean your clothes. What do you miss most being away from home?
Clean clothes.
It's all about the laundry, right?
Yeah.
Hygiene. We're a very hygienic race.
You guys, do you not do laundry on the road? Because
We do when we can, but
I'm going to move back if you don't mind.
You're rarely able. Oh,
party foul.
This is a peaceful gathering.
Nicely done.
This is a peaceful gathering.
We are at a pub. It only makes sense. A few broken glasses.
Dave, how about one more question?
I got Eve.
Hi. What is something you miss doing prior to your...
Sorry.
What is something you miss doing prior to your fame?
What could you do before that you can't now that you're famous? Do you miss anything?
I don't think there's one thing that we can't do now that we did before. I mean, we're not like... I think we're really like a famous band. I think people know our music, which is cool, and that's kind of nice and that, but like, we're not really restricted in what we do. I don't think.
Is it, it's different in America than it is in England, though, right? I mean, when you, if you're in England...
No, not really.
Not really?
No,
you guys don't
really.
Get mobbed going down the street?
We're always on tour, so nothing's changed, really. But we just play gigs all the time.
Do you get lost where you are sometimes and try to...
Get lost inside big buildings, like Spinal Tap.
Hello, Cleveland!
Yeah, exactly.
One more question before we break?
Yeah, I got Nicole here.
Hi. My fiancé proposed at your show in Monterey, so we love you.
Come on!
What did he say? Oh. What did you say?
Nice. She said yes, everybody!
Yeah.
Woo!
My question
when are you getting
is,
married?
March 2014.
Nice. Marcus is asking the questions now.
I'll send an invite.
Would you like the guys to be the wedding band?
Yeah, for sure. I'll send an invite.
Are you guys free?
To you. You can come by.
Yeah, we'll definitely be there.
Can you guys do play that funky music? Or anything like that?
$1 million.
I'll figure it out.
All right, your question?
What has been the most surreal moment for you as a band?
They're looking at each other.
Los Angeles is a pretty surreal place, I think. Is that how you pronounce it? Los
sure.
Angeles?
Yeah.
But no, it's pretty weird. Lots of, like, it's very glitz and glamoury. And, yeah, I don't know.
You guys don't seem like you fit in the glitz and glamoury category.
Well, we really want to.
You do.
Yeah, but we're not really accepted into it. We're trying, though. One day.
You're not trying very hard, I don't think.
What? You
I think you like who you are.
New York.
Oh, well, you like who you are. You're
I
not
like
going
to. I am.
Yeah,
I like who I am,
I'm guessing.
I like who you are. You're right.
You're the only one. Please put your hands together for these great guys, Mumford and Sons.
We came to the end, it seems you had heard. As we walked the city streets, you never said a word. When we finally sat down, your eyes were full of spite. I was desperate, I was weak, I could not put up a fight. But where are you now? Where are you now? Do you ever think of me in the quiet, in the crowd? You were strangely less in pain. And you were cold, triumphant in your mind of the logic that you hold. You said no one would ever know the love that we had shared. As I took my leave to go, it was clear you didn't care. You ever think of me in the quiet, in the crowd? Well, where are you now? Where are you now? Do you ever think of me in the quiet, in the crowd? And I hear of your coming, and you're going in the town. I hear stories of your smile, I hear stories of your frown. And the darkness can descend, we can relish all the pain. But I know that's what you love, 'cause you know I love the same. But where quiet in the crowd, where in the crowd.
Breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
So here's a little something to wake you up.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
We are back. It is Breakfast with Mumford and Sons. First thing in the morning. We have maybe a couple of questions from the audience, and then we're going to get some more music. Dave, you got somebody out there?
Let's hear what Molly has to say.
Molly?
Hi. Huge fan. My question, which I never dreamed I'd be asking, is which one of you is the coolest?
Oh, good question.
Why don't we have a vote?
Just amongst the band, I think we'd all agree it's Ted.
Ted's the coolest.
Really? You didn't know that?
I'm in.
It's cool because he doesn't even know.
He doesn't even know it.
I'm not holding things together at all.
But the stand-up bass is a chick magnet, though, isn't it? It's very sensual.
Yeah. You just kissed it. One more question, Dave, or no?
Yeah, I got Charlie.
Hi. One of my favorite songs is White Blank Page, and I've always wondered what the inspiration was for it.
Was it part of the game? Was it the 10 songs?
It wasn't the 10 song game. We wrote that half in a place where we actually recorded the first album in East Coast Studios, and half in a little rehearsal space, which is our first and only ever rehearsal, in underneath a railway track in Putney. And we were listening to a lot of Beirut at the time. We really liked that band Beirut. That'll probably do, won't it?
Now, I noticed that three out of the four of you list yourselves as drummers, or at least on your bio it says you're a drummer, and yet there's a strange lack of drums.
Yeah.
Considering that
fact.
Do
you just say that because no one can call you on your bull?
Banjo boy is hanging his head. That's sad. It's all right, man.
Wynn's actually really coming on. He's been practicing a lot.
Is that right?
I think he's nearly a drummer.
Well, I noticed, Marcus, that you play the bass drum, and then you also play the tambourine with each foot. That seems confusing.
We were going to get a drummer when we started out, but the problem with drummers is all the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's three kids in this band.
I mean, Spinal Tap covered that pretty well,
sure.
Right? But we just thought instead of...
Are you at your head limit?
Yeah.
We're full of three is enough. Yeah.
Plus, why split five ways when you can split the check four ways? Oh, really, right? Yeah. How about some more music from Mumford & Sons? How about that? That
sounds good.
Here we go.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I hold on hope, and I'll let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways, know my name as it's called again. Yep. Cause I have other things to fill my time. You take what is yours and I'll take mine. Now let me hit the truth, it shall refresh my broken mind. So tie me to a post and block my ears. I can see what owes an orphan's through my tears. Know my call despite my faults, despite my growing fear. Yeah. come out of your cave, walking on your hands, and see the world hanging upside down. You can understand dependence when you know the maker hand. So make your sirens call and sing all you want. I will not hear what you have to say, 'cause I need freedom now, and I need to know how to live my life as it's meant to be.
How about this, Winston, Ben and Ted, Mumford and Sons? Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Again, if you'd like to see the breakfast that we just did with Mumford and Sons, you can see it at 10 o'clock at krock.com. You can see the video.
You should do it. It's worth it.
Kevin Clash is the name of the man who has been the voice of Sesame Street's Elmo character for the last 27 years.
Pretty nice gig, right?
You would think, right?
Yeah.
He's been put on leave, however, from the show over claims of inappropriate relationship with a teenage boy. Sesame Workshop is the name of the company. They produce it. And they got an email from a dude now 23 years old in June. And he says, this guy was having a sexual relationship with me when I was 16.
Oh, boy.
Which, of course, is illegal. The company stated that it conducted a thorough investigation. But it did reveal that he had exercised poor judgment, violated company policy with the use of the internet. But he's claiming that he waited until the kid was 18 and that he's completely innocent. Whatever the truth, they appear determined to protect Elmo. Elmo is bigger than any one person and will continue to be an integral part of Sesame Street. We thought we would call and find out if there are any new details from the Sesame Workshop.
Okay.
Good morning.
Hi, how are Kermit the Frog here?
Hey, hi,
hey,
Kermit.
Hey, Kermit.
Kermit the Bean, yay!
How are you today?
I've been better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're a little touchy here at Sesame Street.
Touchy, right?
You know, things are, no pun intended.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah.
Sorry. Don't mean to make it worse.
That was
but
Kevin.
Don't mean to make it worse, but you know. Hello?
I think I heard a click.
Hello?
Oh, you... What did you do? You
do
made
anything.
Him mad. You made that stupid little joke and he hung up on you.
Do you think Kermit hung up on me?
You're the worst interviewer. Why don't you just ask him how his dad felt about it?
Why would Kermit hang up on me? That doesn't make any sense.
Because you're a dick.
No, I'm not. I hadn't even begun to be a dick. I mean, I had plans, but...
He's sensitive.
That's
this is
bizarre.
Very embarrassing.
Hello?
You guys are... You guys are nowhere to kick a frog when he's down.
Right?
Wow, did you hang up? I'm sorry.
No, I think you guys hung up on me.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't have blamed you.
Well, I don't appreciate that. We're just trying to, you know, sunny day.
Sorry, yeah. Sunny day, right.
Getting the clouds away.
Let's talk about Kevin Clash, the voice of Elmo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's been suspended.
Yeah, he no longer knows how to get to Sesame Street.
Is that right?
Yeah, we took his map away. It's difficult because we do a show for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, when a guy's touching him.
That seems bad, right?
Exactly what we're looking for here in the show. I mean, we like to touch children with education.
Right.
Things, but not with their, you know, snuffleupagus.
Right.
For lack of a better word.
That's a good word.
Oh, right. Yay!
Now, how is everyone else on the set handling it? I mean, is everybody bummed? Or?
Everybody's a little depressed.
Depressed?
It's a cloudy day here at Sesame Street.
Right.
It's not exactly what we're known for.
Right.
Molestation.
Right. That's the opposite of what you're known for.
Yeah.
Really.
So we want to keep Elmo around. We're trying to find a new voice for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you are?
Elmo wants to be back on show.
No, get lost, Elmo.
Elmo wants to play with the kids.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. That's how everything got started.
Elmo.
So, we're looking at some other people. Maybe do the voice of Elmo.
Some other people?
Yeah. Like Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford stopped by.
He's really?
Tried it out, yeah.
Harrison Ford is Elmo? That doesn't sound possible.
Harry, give me your Elmo, won't you?
Tickle me.
Tickle me.
Elmo loves kids.
That's creepy.
Doesn't have quite the...
I don't think.
And today's 7th Street brought to you that letter H.
H. Yeah.
Harrison.
Harrison.
Turns to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Would you mind putting Kermit back on the...
Kermit.
Phone?
Yeah, like I said, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, I don't think kids are going to...
He's a little low-key.
Yeah.
Sean Connery stopped by. He wants to audition.
Did he really?
That's a good idea.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
No, I wouldn't.
Hello, this is Elmo.
Yeah?
Tickle me and I'll break your fingers.
He might be too angry.
He's a little aggressive.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he'll work.
we're trying to work something out. We think it'll turn out for the best, actually.
Okay.
But here's the thing about Muppets, we got a lot of time with the guys with their hands up inside us.
Right.
So they...
That sounds bad, too.
Right.
It's like there isn't a precedent set,
Right, but that's sort of behind the scenes, I think.
A lot of us feel for the kid, right. Quite frankly.
Because you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Come on,
Kermit.
Come on. Why didn't I get out when I could have?
Oh, God, Kevin.
Oh. Elmo. No, Elmo.
It's Kermit.
Kermit. By the way, thanks to Southern California Mini Dealers for sponsoring our Breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
Yes.
And again, if you'd like to watch it, you can watch it, the video of it, at 10 a.m. at krock.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have a special guest in the studio now. Nat Faxon is here. Nat is one of the stars of Ben & Kate.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you for
that
applause.
Smash hit over there on Fox now.
We must start off with your potty mouth, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
Got I think it was an email from your publicist or somebody representing you that said, what can he say and what can't he say? And we were like, odd. We've never really, most guests don't care that much. They'll try to play along, but.
But when you're as filthy as Nat is,
right.
I think you really need to know going in.
Yes, like most people would know in polite society, essentially, what's okay and what's not.
No, not me. I really have no filter.
No filter on that.
No. Our first impression of you was like, oh, no, what exactly does he want to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about, I would go blue almost immediately. Almost immediately, I just want to talk about body parts and,
Now, this didn't come from you or it did?
I thought it came from you.
Nat was saying he got the same email.
I got the same email, like, hey, just so you know, definitely don't say these words.
Jeez.
Okay.
I was going to drop a C-bomb the minute I got on the air, and Nat was thinking to himself.
If you're like I am, those are the only words that'll come to your head now. That's really frustrating, but that's kind of the way it works.
I don't know. Maybe it's my Boston roots, It's as soon as I, get out and start talking, every swear word just comes out.
Well, apparently someone over at your camp is worried about you. So, you might want to dig around and find out who's sending out the emails.
Can you imagine what they're cutting out of Ben and Kate, if that's the case? The outtake reel must be filthy over there.
It's true.
What a great cast you're working with over there at Ben and Kate.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean,
Dakota Johnson, who I didn't really know much before the show, but she's apparently the daughter of Don Johnson and Melanie.
Yeah,
Griffith.
Exactly.
And I wasn't that familiar with her work, but boy, is she charming on this show.
I know,
she's adorable.
She is adorable, and she's very young and incredibly mature, like just really good head on her shoulders, and
great comic
women.
Timing, too.
That's true of all women, and it sucks for guys.
They do mature quicker than we do.
It takes us like 15 years to catch up in maturity.
I know. I'm still not there yet, because I'm swearing all the time, apparently.
And Lucy Punch.
Yeah, Lucy
British
Punch.
British actor who's also
great.
Adorable and hilarious.
Hysterical. Yeah,
you guys
really
worked,
funny.
In Bad Teacher.
In Bad Teacher, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Did you meet on the set of that?
No, we didn't. Our days didn't overlap. But I was familiar with her work and obviously was excited to work with her because she's really, really funny.
Another one of those actresses where in Bad Teacher I didn't recognize that she was British because she does an American accent.
I know.
And then you hear her talk in her native tongue and it's kind of jarring.
I know.
I love that they let her do that too because it just adds so much to the character.
Yeah absolutely.
She's hilarious.
How come British people sound so much more interesting than us?
How come they can all do American accents and so few Americans can do convincing British accents?
Lisa, give us a British accent just for a second.
Hello, governor.
There you go. Yeah. See?
Yeah, she sounds like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins automatically. It's like a chimney sweep.
Tell us, for people who haven't seen Ben and Kate, what the relationship is between you and her.
Yeah, it centers on a brother-sister relationship. I play Ben Fox, who's sort of a bit of a wild card, kind of all over the place. And Dakota Johnson plays Kate, who is my sister, who's a little bit more structured, kind of got her stuff together. See, I didn't swear right there, guys. Yeah. I really wanted to.
But I really wanted to. I could see the struggle going on inside your head.
But yeah, so I come to town and she sort of provides the structure and boundaries that I need, and I kind of...
She has too much structure.
She does.
Right?
Yes.
She's
yes.
A little too much that way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we're kind of both giving each other something. And she's got a 5-year-old daughter, so I sort of help out with the kids so she can, you know, be more, you know, get her youth back a little bit and go out with her friends and do stuff. And so it really centers on that relationship. But there's, you know, it's also kind of an ensemble as well because Echo Kellum plays my best friend. And
he's
Lucy,
great, too.
And yeah, so it's sort of about all of us, essentially.
It's quite the 1-2 punch Fox has got going on that night with you guys and New Girl.
I know.
Pretty strong.
I know. It's really strong. It's really fun to be a part of because it's the kind of thing that I grew up watching when I was a kid, you know, like a comedy block. It wasn't like, all right, here's a reality results show, and then we're going to squeeze this half hour in, and then another, like, you know, another CSI. It's like, you know, it's nice to sort of be surrounded by other comedies so that you can kind of sit down and watch a few in a row.
Does it put more pressure on you as far as following a successful show? Is that pressure?
No, not necessarily. I think it's really fun to be surrounded by funny people, you know, and I friends with some of the people on New Girl, and I love them and respect them and what they do, and Raising Hope as well, and Mindy as well. So it's sort of like a family more so than anything else.
What's it like launching a new show in this day and age? It just seems like 99% of them fail.
I mean, you get no time to prove yourself. That's
no,
the problem.
You don't. And I've been on, I feel like, a lot of those.
Part of the 99%?
Yeah, it's really, really difficult. I mean, because you have to, you know, you have to gain an audience immediately almost, or the network is like, no, it's a failure.
And by the way, for people who don't know, it's pretty much impossible to start off with an audience.
Yes.
And you have to build.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we've all known of like shows like Seinfeld that took a couple of years to really get their feet
Those
and then ended up being amazing.
Yeah. I know. And I think that a lot, you know, we've been fortunate because the network has been really supportive of the show and just sort of understanding that it's going to be a marathon, you know, and they're every step of the way have been like, I know, we're just going to continue to grow and we'll be patient. And it's been really surprising, actually, because I've never been a part of something like that.
That's what they tell you.
But I know.
It's successful, though, because the numbers have been getting better and the show's now hit.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's really exciting. It's sort of slowly building. So hopefully we can kind of just continue to grow.
Nat Faxon is here. The show is Ben and Kate. It's on Tuesdays at 8:30 on Fox. We will take a break. Before we
let's tease real quick. When we get back, can we talk about winning an Oscar? Can we talk about that?
We can talk about that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, we can talk about that.
Can you talk about it cleanly?
No.
Nat Faxon is in the studio with us. He is Ben and Kate, which is on Tuesdays at 8:30 on Fox.
Part of that very funny lineup that Fox has on Tuesday nights. But as far as I know, of all the people on those comedies on Fox, you're the only one with an Academy Award, with an Oscar.
That might be true.
I think it is true.
Do you carry it around? Because I would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's in my backpack right down here.
I don't think Schmidt has one. Nope. I don't think Mindy has one. Yeah. I think it's just our man.
Yeah.
The writers come up to you and try to tell you something, you just hold it up.
Yeah. In your face, writers.
You know, this something is for about writing. Yeah, no, this is for writing. How about that?
What was that experience like? You and Jim Rash get together. Of course, for those who watch Community, you know Jim Rash as well. And you take the book, The Descendants, right?
Yeah.
Was it something you were hired to do? Was it an idea you guys had on your own? Did you love the book and wanted to develop it? How did that adaptation happen?
Yeah, it was actually we had written an original screenplay that had sort of made its way around town, and the people over at the production company Ad Hominem, which is Alexander Payne's production company, read it and liked it, and they had actually the rights to the book to The Descendants. So they brought us in and said, you know, would you be interested in, you know, take a read, and would you be interested in adapting it? And we read it and loved it, and we actually were involved in this horrible, like, alien movie that we were trying to write that we were told was, like, low-hanging fruit. Like, we got, guys, got to do that alien movie. Like, that's the next move for you. Working your way up the ladder.
So then you do a good alien movie, yeah, and then yeah, you keep
then,
going.
Yeah, then you can – so we pleaded to get out of it because it was one of those jobs where we would, like, sit in a coffee shop and just stare at each other like, all right, so you can kill the aliens maybe, like, if they get splashed, you know, in the face with water, or like you have to come up with, like, the rules on all that stuff, and that is just not our strong suit. So we pleaded and luckily got out of that, and we're able to do The Descendants.
Is that good advice for people out there trying to write screenplays, is that if you write a screenplay, because they did they ever use your original screenplay
for the alien movie?
No, for whatever, for
the one that caught Alexander Payne's attention.
Never
get produced?
That actually, we Jim and I directed that this past summer. We finally,
no kidding.
Yeah, after about 7 years, got it made and did it ourselves.
But the way you got your foot in the door was to write that script.
Yes.
They liked it.
Yes.
And they gave you another job based on even before it was made.
Yeah, exactly. It was.
Does that happen a lot?
It does. Yeah, I think if you write something that you know, a lot of times you write something that may not be able, it just might not be commercial enough, or it might not be something that people want to necessarily produce, but they love the writing, and they'll hire you to do something else. So I think it's
proving that you can write, I guess, is the hardest
part.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
And it opened a ton of doors. And the same thing for us happened in TV. We developed this TV show and then subsequently got a lot of, you know, development kind of type deals after that because of this one script. So I think as long as you just, you know, write something that you're proud of and that you like, it can open a lot of doors.
So then Oscar night rolls around. You guys are nominated.
Yeah.
In a million years, do you think when you're sitting there that it's ever going to happen?
I
mean, there was a lot of buzz. Obviously, it was a well-received film, and it did very well, and people were talking about it. Did you think I might win an Oscar tonight?
I felt like we had a shot, but I was so nervous and so terrified, like, because you're sitting there and all that's going through my mind is, like, I'm trying to calm myself down and then also tell myself it's going to be okay if we don't win.
Right,
you know?
Right. Because there's a camera in your face?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I think the Oscars is so cruel that way. Most award shows, because they put all the other people
yes.
up there.
Yes.
And you can watch their initial reaction. Were you thinking about that? Like, I got to react good if I lose.
Yes. That polite clap. Like, good for them. Good for them.
And you're thinking, oh.
Die.
You
bastards.
Desperately want to win, though, right?
Yes. I mean, you desperately want to win. Like, how can you not? And all I'm sitting there is just like, it's going to be okay. It's just an honor to be nominated. You're just, you know, it's just, it's, you know, you're going to be okay after this. Don't worry about it. And then there was such relief to not have that conversation anymore, you know, just to not have to put on the brave face and be like, well, I was happy to be there, you know.
Like, there was some free shrimp at the governor's ball afterwards, so it all worked out.
Exactly. Oh, so it was so nice.
Then, of course, Rash has to piss off Angelina Jolie with that whole leg
thing.
What the hell was he thinking?
I don't know.
Act like you've been there before,
right?
Jim, right?
Move.
Jeez.
I know. And then not telling me either, you know, taking
the
spotlight.
Hanging out the dry.
Yeah.
Now,
I know.
Nat's a guy who came through the Groundlings. Tell us about that process.
Yeah, it was where kind of my career started. It was really the...
That seems true of a lot of people. It seems like that's a good way to get in.
It really is. It was...
For those who don't know, Groundlings is a group. It's a sketch and improv group that teaches you how to be funny off the cuff, but more importantly, how to write and how to write a scene and how to structure. And a lot of guys who come up in comedy learn someplace like that, how to start writing just by writing sketches, and then they expand it into long-form scripts. And
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. And it's bizarre in the sense that a three-minute sketch that you write is not all that different from a 30-page TV script or a 120-page feature. It really kind of has to have all those same elements. So it, in terms of a training ground, it's fantastic. And
the pay is fantastic.
Yeah, the pay is.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That really rolls
loaded.
In.
Yeah. No, it's cash money right
you get
there.
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely
zero.
Nothing.
You pay to belong.
Yeah.
It costs you money.
We used to get El Pollo Loco
all right.
In between shows, but now we don't even get that. So, yeah, it's just – no, but it is like – speaking of like the Oscars and sitting there, it was even more remarkable because we were there and – And there were other people that we had gone through the Groundlings with, like, you know, Melissa McCarthy was there, and Kristen Wiig, and Annie Mumolo, who wrote Bridesmaids, and Octavia and Taylor from The Help. There was all these people that we had sort of come up with. So to be at this insane event that you'd watched, you know, as a kid, and then you're sitting there in the audience, like, with your friends, it made it even more, you know, special. So.
But, cool. But winning was the best part.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sure. Yeah, I didn't care about seeing those people as much as I did about holding that statue.
It's fun to hear somebody actually say how important it is, because I would think it would be that important to me. Everybody says it's nice to get nominated, and I'm sure it is. But you really do just want to win.
Yeah, who are we kidding?
But now the Oscar winner is slumming on television. Doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to go on to bigger and better things, Matt.
I know. Well, I think luckily for me, this show is a bigger and better thing. I love doing it, and it's a blast to do. Boy, that was a very PC thing to say.
Yeah. It was, yeah. Yeah.
Nailed that.
Yeah,
you're a pro.
Yeah.
Are you still, guys still writing? You and Rash still working together on scripts?
We are, yeah. We're working on a bunch of stuff. We're going to do something else with the people that we did The Descendants with in Fox Searchlight, and then we're hopefully going to collaborate with our friend Kristen Wiig on some dark comedy, maybe.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Dark comedy.
Dark comedy, all right. Using a lot of the profanity that I can't say here.
How do you work the improvisation into the show? Do you do a lot of that? Or
on Ben and Kate?
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a ton of it. And usually it's, you know, the scripts are so well written that it makes it easier in a sense, because you can kind of just take the lead on what the script has already given you, and then you can kind of just... They're so welcoming and so...
I was going to ask, do the writers not take that personally, where they craft every line and they've gone over it four times?
No, I think they're so open, and it makes it such a fun and kind of collaborative experience, because they're very willing to just sort of say, yeah, take that little piece and then just go on a rant. And then it's so liberating. And they may not use anything that I come up with, because usually it's horrible. or it's a lot of swearing in it. Yeah.
A lot of swearing. That's probably the biggest problem you have.
But no, they're very encouraging. So it's
and
really
the other
fun.
Actors have to be good at responding to that, because they can't see it coming.
Yeah, no. And that's a very positive sort of strength of our show, is that everybody in the cast is very capable and adept at doing that. So
little Maggie Jones probably better than anyone, right?
Yeah. She's amazing.
All she does is just give a look, and then you're like, okay, you're right, that did suck.
Now on the Halloween show that was last week?
Yes.
I want to say?
I think the election was last week. Yeah. So.
You were playing high.
Yeah, I was playing super baked.
How do you do that as a...
I've never done
just smoke out.
Research.
Yeah, I took like major bong hits and then just walked into the studio and said, "Let's nail this.
Let's do this."
It was scary, because I didn't want to come across as like a actor, like faking baked.
Right.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than like every stoner watching the show and being like, totally not what you act like. You know, super weak, man.
But the stoners that would think that are too lazy to get up and write anything, so you don't have to worry about it, really.
Or too lazy to change the channel.
Right.
So
I'm not going to complain on any level.
It's kind of a win-win.
That guy is not, cheese puff. They get distracted very easily.
Exactly. I'll just keep watching because I can't reach.
Well, I got to tell you, it's a funny show. Ben and Kate, it comes on right after New Girl. Tuesday nights, 8:30 on Fox, which is, of course, tonight. Nat, it was great to have you in. Thanks for spending some time with us and coming into the studio.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Sure. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. Can we have we have time for a moment don't we?
With Kevin? Sure.
No.
What?
And now, a moment with Ralph.
What? The announcement for the Almost Acoustic Christmas, the 23rd and 23rd... Almost Acoustic Christmas. 24th, what's it? 23rd?
23rd. I don't know, but we're going to make this into a moment.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That counts. That counts.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to the beat, I do want to let the ladies out there who may be listening that we are currently searching for our Miss Double December 2013. It's right at that time of the year again where we find a spokesmodel who will represent the Kevin and Bean Show for all of next year. It's really one of our favorite things to do every year, is to meet so many refined, young, chaste ladies who really have manners and decorum.
I don't remember many of those.
Giant booze. And I like to throw back a few shots in the morning. Your application can be filled out at krock.com, kevinandbean.com. Then you send us a couple photos, preferably a three-quarter or full-length photo, so we can see your face and how pretty you are and how lovely you are. And then we are going to go through those submissions. On Monday, we will announce our top 10 finalists. So that means you have until Friday, this Friday at 10 a.m. to get your submission in. Monday, we announce the finalist, and then the K-Rock listeners will have their opportunity to vote for who they think should be Miss Double December 2013. The big pageant, it all culminates down at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in Fullerton on the 30th, and it's going to be a great event, and we ask you to bring an unwrapped toy for the Marines who will be down there with their Toys for Tots program, or as we like to call it, Toys for Tatas. It's a great time of the year, and ladies, if you'd like to participate, we would like to have you join us. So, once again, go fill out your submissions.
Do it.
KRock.com.
Do it before the last minute, because our website is shaky at best. So.
Yeah. Make sure you get in there. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available for your entertainment dollar. On DVD, in case you missed the animated film Brave, that's available with Kelly MacDonald and Billy Connolly, Emma Thompson.
Is that supposed to be good?
Very good.
Okay.
What else? Savages with Taylor Kitsch and Blake Lively and Aaron Johnson about those...
Blake Lively.
Impossibly good-looking, young, sexy drug dealers are having a three-way, and then bad things happen, and John Travolta shows up and asks for someone to massage him.
I don't think that's
I never saw
the
film, but I'm pretty sure that's in there. The Watch, about the Neighborhood Watch program, and they run into some aliens, Jonah Hill and Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn.
Sure.
Nitro Circus, the movie.
Oh, that's so good.
Our buddy Travis Pastrana, of course. Queen of Versailles. And
I saw Queen of Versailles, by the way. That's a bizarre movie because it's the guy who's completely in charge of timeshares.
Yeah.
And they have billions and they lose it.
Oh. Wow.
And they start doing a documentary and they had no idea that this...
How lucky for the documentarian.
Economic that downturn was going to happen. It's fascinating.
Kevin saw a documentary about something. What? How did this happen?
She wanted to see it, so she took me.
Did you hear it was loud?
No.
So you went there thinking it was going to be a loud documentary?
I take her to so many crappy movies that every once in a while I have to say, you pick. It doesn't make up for it, but...
See, you went to see something like that and you really
enjoyed it. I liked
it
a lot, yeah.
So isn't that encouragement enough for you to start seeing quality cinema?
No.
Yeah. No. The Seagulls, right? Wasn't that their name, the couple? The Seagulls?
I don't remember.
I believe it was. And Vamps, starring Alicia Silverstone and Kristen Ritter. I can imagine it's a vampire parody. I can only assume.
Sure.
I'm just guessing. On CD, Dose by Green Day. Their second in the trilogy that we've been promised. King Animal by Soundgarden. Koi no Yokan by Deftones. Psycho White. I see a project here called Psycho White.
Psycho White. I wonder what that could be.
That EP?
Oh, yeah. That's the new Travis Barker who we're going to talk to just after the top of the hour.
We'll be talking to him about that project next. Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2. Grrr. The Rolling Stones collection. And by the way, since we're talking about bands and new CDs, how about our own Chip? Assistant producer Chip here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's a member of a band called Fiction Reform.
One clap.
They've got... That was an applause.
She deserves an applause.
That was an applause.
She has got a band called Fiction Reform. They've got a new CD out today as well. It's available at Amazon.com and iTunes. It's called Take Your Truth. And I can only imagine their second album is going to be And Stick It Up Your Ass. Here is a couple clips from some tracks from the CD. Let's start off with number one called 1 Minute More.
Yeah, she
told
me
that.
She told me she was in a band. I was like,
yeah, okay, yeah, right. Everybody's in a band, sweetheart.
Can't wait to hear that.
Then you hear this music.
It's
really good.
Yeah.
Here's another track called Music Monster. All right. And Shellac and Vinyl is another track from Take Your Truth by Fiction Reform.
If you like your bands with a midget bassist, this is the band for you.
This is the band for you. They're hard to find. Ever since Gary Coleman quit in excess, I think, really, we haven't had that quality in a band. So,
Fiction Reform.
Congratulations to those guys. Yeah, check it out and buy it. And so then Chip will make a lot of money, and then she'll quit.
She'll quit immediately.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Looks like Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber are already back together again.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Sources are saying that the two were scheduled to meet before his concert in Brooklyn last night and have a little tete-a-tete, as they say. A little conversational head-to-head conversation.
One-on-one.
One-on-one to kind of work things out. Word is that they are desperate to see each other and work things out. So it looks like those storm clouds may have passed and sunshine will be raining down on their love again.
But it'll be brief, so don't worry about it.
They'll be back. Justin Timberlake's a lucky guy. He, of course, married Jessica Biel. Insiders are sharing Gerard Butler is kicking himself for not taking advantage of seeing Jessica Biel when he had her.
Yeah.
And keeping her. They apparently got together while they were filming a movie, Playing for Keeps. And he didn't want to stop seeing other women.
Well, that can be a problem for some women.
So she decided to not pursue the relationship. And word is,
she's wound a little tight. All right.
He feels she's the one that got away. She's the one that got away. Yeah. But for every one that gets away, you have 12 waiting for you in your room, Gerard Butler. So.
Yeah, that's the difference when you're a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose Jessica Biel and you're all right.
Yeah, because there's another hottie right around the corner.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Microsoft. The new edition of Halo 4, newest edition of their video game, has earned between sales and logons and total views a total of $300 million in its first week. $220 million in the first 24 hours, and then $300 million in its first week of release. So that's pretty strong.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2 comes out today. I will bet we'll smash that record, even though that is really strong.
Yeah. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Our buddy Jimmy Kimmel celebrates his birthday today. We want to send him a big shout-out.
Yay!
K-Rock's own Nicole Alvarez, one of our other jocks here on the station. She celebrates her birthday. Anybody get anything? Anybody get anything good? For Nicole? Anybody?
Nothing that I can mention on the air.
How about you? How about you back there? You.
Yeah.
In the hat. In the Kings hat. Nothing?
What?
You're strong.
Good.
Meta World Peace of the Lakers is 33 years old today. Gerard Butler is 43. Steve Zahn, 45 years old today. Neil Flynn from The Middle and Scrubs is 52. Whoopi Goldberg's 57. Chris Noth, Mr. Big from Sex and the City. And, of course, from The Good Wife, he is 58. Frances Conroy, who played the mom on 6 Feet Under, turns 59 today. And Joe Mantegna. Criminal Minds, of course, a bunch of gangster movies.
He's a great gangster.
Voice of Fat Tony, the gangster on The Simpsons.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, very entertaining. 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. At 9 minutes after 9 o'clock, we have a chance for you to win tickets for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th, coming up very soon. We say 9:10. We get to it as soon as we can. Travis Barker is with us in the studio right now. Travis.
How you guys doing?
So we got about 5 minutes, and then we'll give you those tickets for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We are good, Travis. How are you today?
I'm awesome.
I got to tell you, every time you come in, we have so many different questions about different parts. You have a varied career that's kind of fun to talk about this, and then you do something else with them, and then this project that you came in today is a new one, right?
Yeah. I try to keep it exciting. The new one's with Yellow Wolf. We have an EP called Cycle White that just came out today.
And how did that friendship happen? How did that come about?
You know, I first met Yella through, actually, Rob Dyrdek hit me, and he's like, you know, Yellow Wolf's at the factory right now. He wants to come see you. So Yella came over, and we started making music immediately that day.
Is that right?
Yeah, but I had heard from my manager at the time, Paul Rosenberg, had hit me and said, you got to check this kid out, man. He's like, he looks like he could be your brother, but he's a rapper from Alabama. He's like your long-lost brother. And I was sold on it. I was like, wow, I was really impressed with trunk music. And then we basically got into the studio every time I was in L.A. and made music, and then we were sitting on like five, you know, jams that we really liked a lot, and then it just ultimately became this EP.
Now, why do you put out the EP and not, I don't know, wait a little bit longer and just have a full album?
We could have done that, you know, because I guess there was no intention from the beginning. We were just making songs. Like, one might have ended up on his album, one might have ended up on my next album. He also does a Country Fresh line with Famous. So we just had a bunch of stuff going on. We're like, we should release this with your next, you know, collection of clothing you put out too. And then like I said, we just listened back one day when we were like on our fifth song that we were recording, and we were like, man, we're sitting on some really good songs. We should let the world hear these.
It's really great. I was listening to it earlier today. I have some clips. I want to play a clip of Push 'Em, and this features Skinhead Rob and Tim Armstrong.
Yeah, I was finishing, I was mixing that record, Push 'Em, and Transplants session was starting at the studio.
That's what I'm saying. You have the weirdest, yeah. You have the weirdest gig.
I was lucky for Tim and Rob to love the song and be like, hey, you know, we're going to do backup vocals on there. So, you know, it was cool to have them be a part of it, too.
Here's a little bit of Push Up. Everybody give me you can't hear Tim in that clip, in that particular clip. he's a little bit calmer than that in his delivery. We have 6 Feet Underground, and this also features Tim Armstrong. Tell us about this one. Is this just, did he listen to all of it and just say, wow, that's cool, I want to
after recording backup vocals for Push 'Em, we had 4 songs done for the EP, and I was about to write one more, and Tim was in the studio, and I hit up Tim and said, yo, why don't you co-write one with me, and we'll deliver him, you know, kind of a reggae vibe track, and Yella was really, really stoked on that, and then that song came to life really quick. Tim actually ended up directing the video for it that drops later this week. We filmed it at Brooklyn Projects, their skateboard ramp there. It had like a cool skate party. So yeah, it just happened organically, man. My studio is a little melting pot of all sorts of different kind of music.
Just whoever happens to be around, here's a little bit of 6 Feet Underground.
If you try, gonna lie, 6 feet on the ground. You can't push us around.
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 That sounds awesome. That
kind
sounds
of an
really
old
fun.
Specials vibe. Yeah. You know, like.
Yeah, and you can tell that's Tim Armstrong had a part in writing it.
Oh, yeah.
How do you write songs? You're a drummer.
Some start with just drum ideas.
Do most of them start with a beat?
For me, yeah. They do. I'll either be on, you know, I bring my drum machines in my bus if I'm on tour, and I just make a lot of beats. And then when I'm home and I'm actually in the presence of another artist and we're collaborating, we just feed off each other. I have a lot of marching drums, and for Yellow Wolf and I, it was really important that we included like live drums, and we did something different. So there's a lot of marching drums this whole EP.
This might be a stupid question, but how, after you've been coming up with beats and rhythms for so long, how do you not just start repeating yourself? How do you keep stuff fresh?
I make it a point.
Or do you
not
go
to.
Back and go, wow, that was, I actually repeated myself on that one?
No, I'm so hard on myself about that. I never want to do anything that sounds ultimately like something I've done before.
But you've done so much.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. And working with Yella, he's such like a, he's so left of any of the kind of stuff that I've done before. And he's kind of a real fast rapper, and we just feed off each other well. There was just a good chemistry in the studio, and we really created things that sounded original.
That's part of the fun of this project is just that it's different than other things you've done.
Yeah, it was so different than any of the projects that have come out prior to it.
He's like Tim Armstrong on meth.
Yeah, and a rapper from Alabama. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, it comes out today, and it's called Psycho White. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We'll take your questions as well, if you'd like, for Travis Barker in the studio on the World Famous. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. Travis Barker is in the studio with us. Blink-182 coming out with a new EP, album? What are you coming out with?
We have Blink-182 music installment hitting everyone in the month of December, and I think it's to be delivered on Christmas, actually.
On Christmas Day?
Yeah, but you can pre-order it beforehand.
Is it all Christmas standards like you guys do?
There is a Christmas song in there, yeah, and then there's just songs kind of, you know, just kind of our gift to our fans at Christmas. Like we were in the studio all last week, and we wrote a lot of good songs. Really stoked on it.
And then you have you're going to do another full album next year?
Yeah, next year we'll be recording a full length.
Is it exciting to get back together with those guys again now that you've been doing it for a while?
Yeah, you know, the last album, Neighborhoods, it was cool.
Loved.
But at the end of the day, like, we all recorded it in different studios.
Oh, no kidding.
So there was kind of a disconnect in a way. Whereas the new album, I mean, we were in a room, you know, in the same studio for 5 days. And, I mean, we got so much accomplished in those 5 days. And you have the ability to really kind of, like, work on someone's idea or even make it different or, you know.
You seem like the kind of guy that would always prefer to be in the room with people.
Yeah, it's always better.
It's vibing, you know, getting the vibe of the person and all that.
Yeah, unless someone just wants drums on something, then they can send it to me. And
How often does that happen?
Sometimes, like, you know, a couple times a month or whatever, I'll just play drums on something. But if it's a true collaboration, it's always way better if you're in a room together.
Do you try? Do you ask people that send you stuff? Do you go, hey, I'd like to come over and
usually that's how it goes down. You're in a room collaborating, especially if it's a collaborative kind of record or beat or whatever.
It must be a weird thing to get something that's is it completely done except for drums? And they just say, can you
sometimes
make
yeah.
this good?
Or it'll be a drum machine, you know, just program drums. And, hey, we want to replace all the program stuff with you, so do your thing. That's kind of fun, too.
That's pretty cool.
It's all there, and you just add you to it.
Do you have to do it over and over again, or are you a one-take wonder? How does that work?
It depends how familiar with the song I am. You know,
if you're familiar with it,
I play every day. You know, I at least like I feel guilty. It's like it's my therapy. I need whether I have work or I don't have work, I need to sit down and play my drums for like a good hour, hour and a half,
every single
day. Yeah.
All your neighbors.
Yeah, they don't like me. The city of Calabasas does not like me.
Now, when I visited you last, you were out in the 909 someplace. It was
Corona.
It was Corona.
Yeah.
And it was for Drumline. Remember that?
Yep.
The movie Drumline.
I remember that.
Because we were mocking it, and Travis called in and said, hey, I used to be in the Drumline. These guys are cool. So come watch it with me. So Dave and I went out to Travis's house, and we stayed there for a while. And then we went and we watched the movie. And I remember at the beginning of the movie, I turned to Travis to say, hey, this is gone. Travis was gone. He had gotten in his car and driven back home.
Travis.
So then I said, but he'd already seen it. He just wanted, just wanted us to see it.
I was trying to sell them. I said it was like the Karate Kid of Drumline.
Right. So then I did the same thing to Dave. I told Dave, I'm going to use the restroom. I'll be right back. And I went and got my car and drove away. So then he was just sitting there by himself in the theater. So the new one is Psycho White. It's out today. This is with Yellow Wolf. And I have one more clip to play. What's the name of it? It's Director's Cut. Tell me about this one.
Director's Cut was a beat I had, and Yellow was at the studio, and I had to leave. I had something else that I had to go do, kind of like the Drumline movie.
Sure.
I just left or whatever. But it was kind of cool. I came back the next day, and I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea. You never know what someone's going to do over a beat that you leave them. And it was a track that was really like a storytelling track where, you know, he was really going in. So
did you know that? You just gave him a beat.
I gave him a beat, and I had to leave.
Okay, so do you in your mind, can you sort of in your mind hear where you think it's going?
Yeah, but with Yellow Wolf especially, I think, like, I bet he's going to do this, or this is the cadence he's going to rap, and then he goes and does something completely different.
And does it blow you away? Or?
Yeah, like, there was 8-bar or, like, 12-bar verses, and they turned into 32-bar verses, which isn't normal. I mean, he went in. He had a lot to say, you know? So
he's not a slow rapper, so he does get it all in.
Yep. So it was really cool how that track came together. It reminds me of like some early Eminem storytelling, really jaw-dropping, like shock rap almost.
It's
you
funny
know?
You would say that because when we were listening to this the other room, I mentioned Eminem. It sounds sort of like something he would do.
Yeah, it's like basically the concept of the record is like a jealous boyfriend who gets, you know, extreme revenge on his old lady.
Which is the theme of
yeah.
it. Here's a little bit of Director's Cut. This must be your movie, MG. I'm about to go take a dig. Yeah, I'm about to make a movie, MG. Michael Myers and Superman. Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Michael Myers and Superman. Pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty
and Mixmaster cool. Mike from the Beasties is on there.
Is he on there too?
Yeah.
Can we talk about your thing with Mixmaster Mike?
Yeah.
Sort of a thing?
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know why I asked silently, because people can still hear that. Tell us what you're going to do.
Yeah. Me and Mixmaster Mike from the Beastie Boys will be playing at USC to support, you know, their football team. And
the USC-UCLA game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hype up their pep rally.
And when is this, Thursday?
Yeah, I believe it's Thursday. I believe it's us and Childish Gambino. Couple other artists. Should
That's
be really
pretty cool.
Yeah,
and you put the theme song in there somehow.
Yeah, we have the USC fight song in there, and we basically have like you know, I think it's like a 40-minute set nonstop.
No kidding.
It's pretty cool. Every genre you can think of, mashed in there.
That's the thing about you is you know you're going to get a bunch of different genres with you because you seem to get bored with one sound, so you like everything.
Yeah, there's so much good out there, man.
Yeah, like, and every time you come out with a project like this Cycle Y, you go, well, that sounds great. And then yeah. The next thing you know, it's always going to be something good.
Yeah, I try to keep kicking down new doors.
Now, I love you. You know I love you.
Thank you.
And I love this album.
Thank you so much, man. I love you guys, too. I appreciate you guys.
But I do have one complaint, if you don't mind. I just have... whistling. Travis whistling.
You don't need to kick that door down.
Whistling.
Not me whistling. Yellow whistling. He actually... There was a full chorus to that song, and he was like, it's got to be...
So, and then he said, I want to whistle
it? I just want to whistle over
it. Did you fight him on that and go full chorus better?
No, I kind of like, well, that was the whole thing with the EP is do it non-traditional. And it was just supposed to be like.
To come up with an idea and then you go a different way.
Yeah, I mean, that actual track, that Whistle Dizzy track, was recorded different verse and chorus than you hear it now. Like, everything's different. About a month before it was released, he came in and did everything over.
Now, you didn't go, are you sold on that?
Well, you know, it's not supposed to be like
you're not a judgmental guy at all. I know that about you, but
I kind of let
that's
Yellow,
whistling.
I kind of let Yellow live on that. Plus, I knew it wasn't going to be a, you know, it wasn't supposed to be like a radio track or commercial track. It was just supposed to be, and he had this whole idea of like Illuminati, really dark video and dark record. So
the kind of whistling is.
Kind of, it's just creepy. It's kind of eerie.
It is a little creepy, yeah.
We were going for creepy.
Well, it's fantastic, as everything you do is.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate you coming in, Travis. Psycho White is the name of it. It's Travis Barker and Yellow Wolf, and it's available today. There are 5 tracks on it.
Yep.
All 5 are great.
Thank you so much.
It's really, really good. So thanks for coming in. We appreciate the time.
Awesome, man.
Hey, Travis, if you ever need a drummer, I drum. I like beats.
I like your beats. You want to see some of my beats?
I behave myself. Thank you.
Want to have a beats off?
No.
Travis Barker was here, and I got to tell you, Beer Mug was pretty...
He did. He behaved himself.
He behaved pretty well.
Yeah. Not what I heard.
Well, I mean, I'm saying for him.
I heard it happened the minute he walked in.
For him. I like beats.
Hey, Beats brother. We're both beats guys. We're the Beats boys.
I don't know who you're talking to, Rob.
Yeah,
congratulations. We never said this to Daisy Ojeda from Anaheim. Got tickets for both nights.
Daisy Ojeda. Oh, Sharon from Ireland, she is.
Both nights at the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Don't forget, it's Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. You do have to be a K-Rock Street Team member. Go to krock.com for that. Night number one is Linkin Park, Rise Against, Bush, Garbage, Slightly Stupid, AWOL Nation, The Lumineers, Walk the Moon, The Gaslight Anthem, Two Door Cinema Club, and Youngblood Hawk. Night number two is The Killers, Jack White, Fun, period, M83, Neon Trees, Passion Pit of Monsters and Men, Group Love, Alex Clare, Imagine Dragons. Go to krock.com for more details.
Time for the gentlemen, Kevin got through both of those lists.
Yes, he did.
How
clear, concise, perfect.
How dare you, sir?
Just giving some props, man.
Just forget
giving
getting
mad
through the
props
basics
for being able to read.
And now it's time for the showbiz beat. Here's Rob. Yeah.
I might have to finally crack and talk to Shirley Manson backstage.
Oh, I don't see that happening. You're such a garbage pussy. You are such a pussy when it comes to her.
I did puss out at the Weenie Roast.
And Ralph is a guy who will talk to anyone.
But she intimidates me because I'm such a huge fan.
She's an amazing woman.
And I had a big crush on her for many years.
But you have to talk to her because she has such an amazing sense of humor.
I know that.
Well, then
you don't
why
think
wouldn't
I know
you
that?
Say hi?
Because I'm not worthy.
That's true.
I am not James Worthy. She's the best and I'm the worst. What can I say?
I can't argue that.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news. It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs are in stores. You want to pick up a new movie you haven't seen before? How about Brave, the animated films with the voice of Kelly MacDonald and Billy Connolly, two of my favorite Scots. Emma Thompson also in that. Savages with Taylor Kitsch and Blake Lively and Aaron Johnson. About impossibly attractive young drug dealers when things go awry. The Watch, starring Jonah Hill and Ben Stiller. Vince Vaughn. Nitro Circus movie with Travis Pastrana. Queen of Versailles. A lot of people are asking us, what's the name of the documentary you guys were talking about? Queen of Versailles is the name of the documentary about a couple who were the king and queen of the timeshare. Mm-hmm. It all kind of goes south on them when the economy bursts.
They're building the biggest house in, I think, America at the time when they start this thing.
Yes.
And it could fit all of our houses in one of the wings, and it's just absurd.
And there's three of them, right?
And yes.
Three
and
or four.
Two. And then the economy just goes south, and they have to leave it.
Vamps, starring Alicia Silverstone, is also available. Still haven't figured out what
that doesn't
is.
Exist.
Yeah. But you can check that out if you're looking for a new movie. That's what's available for you. Gary Dorden, remember that name?
Yes.
He was the guy on CSI, the original CSI, the one that takes place in Vegas. He played, what was his character's name?
Remember that I don't remember.
He was the black guy on CSI, basically.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Good-looking black guy, talented guy, very popular on the show. He made a mistake a lot of actors make when they get a series. Didn't save his pennies from that. He has just filed bankruptcy. He owes $1.7 million to his creditors.
Mm. Ouch.
Didn't he get pulled over several
years
ago?
He's had lots of legal problems with drugs and alcohol, yeah. He's had money problems since 2010, actually, when he was sued over credit card debt, and he had to go to court earlier this year to stop the bank from foreclosing on his home. Now, he says he makes $15,000 a month, but nearly all of that goes to bills. But he did tell the judge he's anticipating some major acting roles to come through. So that, don't worry about it. Everybody's going to get paid back, because he's got major acting roles on the horizon. I'm sure that's what they all think.
That's tough.
That's the problem. He's currently driving a 2006 Dodge Charger and says as of right now, once he pays his bills, he has about $321 in disposable income per month
to
live on.
Wow.
So that is not a good story.
No.
Makes me sad. Also makes me sad that I'm not going to see Carly Kloss, the Victoria's Secret supermodel, dressed in smoking hot lingerie on the runway when CBS airs the Victoria's Secret fashion show next month.
Why not?
Because apparently Carly was wearing an American, Native American-themed outfit with full feathered headdress, suede bra, fringe, and leopard print panties.
Who's upset?
Well, tweeters have called it culturally insensitive. Due to the huge Twitter backlash, Victoria's Secret has pulled the outfit from their special.
I'd like to suggest that American Indian has never looked better.
I agree.
Than her. That's the pinnacle.
Me like 'em bra and panties. Me get big teepee. Many smoke signals for many moons.
I think we get it.
Show me now running brook. So they don't want to offend anyone, so they are pulling that outfit from the Victoria's Secret show. Just in case there are any American, Native American fashionistas out there who get
upset. Hey, we don't look that good.
Yeah. More bad TV news. The E! Network has announced they've renewed the reality show Married to Jonas.
That's just not good.
Which is Kevin and Danielle Jonas, the young married couple. Kevin, of course, of the Jonas Brothers. Shows them and the difficulties, I guess, of being a super rich music star married to an attractive young girl.
Ugh.
Can you imagine how difficult that must be? Season 2, they promise, though, will show the Jonas Brothers finishing their album and going out on tour. Oh!
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I hear.
Nobody wants to see that. But apparently E! Believes we do. E! Is just the center of evil now.
It is,
on television.
It is.
They've got the Kardashians over there and Chelsea Handler, and it's just like Berlin was in the early 40s.
Not
just
sure.
The center of global evil right there, the E!
Sure, that's
network.
The case. That might be a little
Seacrest.
Strong.
It's all, come on.
Then who's Seacrest?
Who do you think?
Deutschland, Deutschland, wo will I live?
Anne Hathaway gave up a lot to play Fantine in the big screen version of the Broadway musical Les Miserables that's coming out this Christmas. I'm sounding very pretentious when I say Les Miserables.
Yeah.
But that's the way it sounds.
There's
really no other way. If you say Les Miserables, you sound like an idiot. So I'm just trying to pronounce the way it is, but I always felt like it sounded like a douche when I pronounce that thing. Yeah. I'll just call it LM for the future.
You're a douche, but for other reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
She has to play a prostitute with TB in the film.
And so she had to drop 25 pounds. And she didn't have 25 pounds to drop.
No.
And she had to shave her head. I don't know why you got to shave your head when you get TB. I thought that was just for lice or something, but who knows what she's got. The filthy whore.
It's just a roll.
So she talks about her diet. How did she lose the 25 pounds? She would have a few nuts every day.
That's what beer mug has.
What? Come on.
Right?
Really?
That's your diet, right?
No, F you.
And she would consume 2 thin squares of dried oatmeal paste.
What?
2? You're splurging a little bit, aren't you, Anne Hathaway? Couldn't really cut down just to the 1 thin square of oatmeal paste a day. Did you really need to fill up on 2?
Is it paste? Why does it have to be dried?
I guess they would pound it into a sheet and then dry it and then cut it into squares.
That's a bizarre diet.
I have no idea. That's what she would eat.
Huh.
She has gained some of the weight back since filming, she said. Well, you don't want to go nuts. You know
what I mean?
You don't put a whole 25 pounds onto that frame. But she said she's sticking with the haircut. She's keeping that little pixie hair to her. She likes it.
Huh.
I don't like it.
Yeah,
I like women with hair. Everywhere. Big furry
women. No, you don't.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Very talented actor Joe Mantegna. Criminal Minds and a bunch of gangster films and stuff. He was in The Godfather 3, remember?
Yep.
Joey Zaza in that film. 65 years
old. Talked to a guy earlier today who'd not seen any of The Godfather movies.
Oh, makes me nuts.
Sweet.
Frances Conroy, super talented actress. 6 feet under. She was the mom of the Fisher clan on that TV series. She was also in American Horror Story, the first season. 59 years old today. Chris Noth from Sex and the City played Mr. Big on that series. He's also in The Good Wife. Really good actor. 58 years old. Whoopi Goldberg's 57. Neil Flynn, who was the janitor on Scrubs, now stars in The Middle on ABC. 52. Jimmy Kimmel, our buddy Jimmel. Jimmel?
Jimmel. That's a nice shortening.
That should be his media tag.
Jimmel.
Really. Jimmel. Like K-Stu and our Pats, he should be Jimmel.
I like it.
He's 45 years old. Steve Zahn, one of my favorite actors, turns 45 today. Gerard Butler is 43. Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest, is 33 years old. And our own Nicole Alvarez, one of our jocks here at the station, celebrates her birthday. Is she working today, or is she taking it off?
Him.
Woo!
I don't know. I don't know. Is she taking it off? Is she working?
She's going to Disneyland.
All right.
So she won't be working then, no. I guess.
I'm sorry. Heads up, he's going to try and get out of it. Back to you.
And heads up, Disneyland. If there's anything remotely alcoholic there in the park, you may want to lock
it
down.
Talk about
it that way.
Birthday.
You may want to lock it
it's
down.
Birthday.
That's what I'm saying. It's her birthday. What do you think the odds are she's going to get a load on? You guys know I'm not good. Just saying. We all remember that, don't we? Remember that?
I do.
Yeah. I don't want people to hear this album and think that's you guys because it's not good.
Like, I've never been happier because that's usually me that you're doing the impression of.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we've got an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We also have a little musical artist in tomorrow that I like. I'll say it. Better than Travis Barker.
What the?
Better than most of the bands we play.
What?
Better than Rage Against the Machine. If you know me, that's my favorite band.
This artist must be super talented.
This artist is The Great Wing.
Ah, The Great Wing.
Wing.
This is her cover of Poker Face. Got a strong start, I'll give her that.
I've really upgraded the Casio.
She has.
Oh my god!
13, 14, 15 albums?
And not enough. She's not as good as the first album. I don't know if people listen to this album think this is representative of work. You guys used to be good, Wing.
Anyway, we have Wing tomorrow on the show as well, and your tickets for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.